Book it down now.
Isn't this pretty? Hi, everybody.
Where's Don Cornelius?
it's Bill and Wendy. It's a Disco Thursday. Listen
Who
to
is this.
This
is Jamiroquai.
Oh, remember Jamiroquai when we worked at Q101?
They came about after the disco revolution. They were late to the disco party.
Like by 30 years?
By about.
Maybe
by,
not that long.
Not that many, but by a bunch of years. Welcome to the show. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. And your thoughts at any point during the program are welcome to 312-981-7200. Can we quickly say goodbye to somebody? We have an intern on the show. Mike Rizzo is his name. And he's been with us throughout the summer. And he's going back to school.
And he's awesome.
He does a very nice job. You know, when we first took him on, he told us he was Anthony Rizzo's brother. So we're all like, yeah, come on in. We'd love to have you.
I said, no, can't come.
Right, because you're a White Sox fan. You said, this will not work out. So we brought him in, and he's been nothing but fun, a lot of joy to all of us throughout the summer. But here's a weird thing about Mike Rizzo. I'm like, can you come in for just a second? Come on into
way
the...
to embarrass him on his last
I don't
day
want,
with
this,
us.
My goal is not to embarrass him. I just want to point out the difference between people of our generation. You and I are both in our late 70s, and a guy like Mike Rizzo comes in. He's a young punk. He's in his early 20s. Mike, earlier I was referencing something, and I said, all you need to do is you don't have to even bring it. You can leave it on your stoop. You can just bring it to your house and just leave it on the stoop. And you said what? Do you remember?
I said, what exactly is a stoop?
Mike had no idea what a stoop was.
Well, may I say that
He thought I was a stoop. He goes, what, are you a stoop?
I've heard it referenced to people, someone being a stoop, but right. Not in what it actually is.
Right.
Can I defend Mike Rizzo for a minute?
Yes.
That is a word that is territorially used.
Is it? I never thought about it. Is it? It
we,
could be.
We in Brookfield did not have a stoop. Is
you
it like the front porch?
In- Yeah, the stoop normally is, yeah, it would be where your front porch is, but more times than not. Not always, but I think most times it's like it's just concrete. It's a raised, like there'd be a path from the sidewalk to the front of your house, and then there'd be a raised level a couple of inches up, and it would be made probably of concrete, but I think you could make it out of whatever.
So a little tiny landing before the major stairs?
Before the front door.
Didn't know what a stoop was either,
you didn't
Mike.
Either.
No.
I knew what a stoop was.
Oh.
Where'd you grow up?
Roselle.
Steubenville. In Roselle, yeah. Is like that's stoop central.
Yeah, I think that's where a lot of stoops are made. I think.
Yeah,
yeah.
I thought a stoop was the little landing area off the garage or garage.
You could have a stoop there. You could have a secondary stoop.
I was stoopless when I grew up. So, Mike, I am totally with you. I've heard the word. But I didn't really 100% know what it was.
Mike's face did that thing. Did you ever do a thing where everything's going fine and then something happens, somebody says something, and you just go, is everything I know a lie? Like he had that look like, I thought life was going pretty well until now, but you're speaking in tongues to me.
I never heard. I mean, I heard of it. My mom grew up in Cicero. I think there were plenty of stoops there.
Oh, Cicero is
But Brookfield did not have many stoops.
That's sad to hear. I don't know why that would be. But there's front porches aplenty.
Yeah, but you're making it seem like it's one elongated step, kind of, and then the stairs. Is it just the bottom stair?
No, not really.
I wonder if the stoop cutoff is the Eisenhower, then. I wonder if...
It's got to be right around there, right?
Yeah, I bet you're right.
Yeah, the Eisenhower, south or north, yeah.
It is.
I thought it was territorially motivated.
It's funny how certain areas, when my wife and I were looking for houses, for a little while we looked in Naperville. And the thing in Naperville that was a huge deal was how big your deck was. Like all the real estate agents went, like the first thing they would tell us about any house, anything, they'd go, wait till you see the deck. Wait until you see.
But how's the house?
We were more interested in what the house was like. But everybody out there was like, the deck at this place is just superior. Wait till you see it. You're going to cry.
All right. I grew up in Norridge. I know what a stoop is. The cement behind the garage is called the apron. I know that.
I'm
not talking about that. You know how there's, if you have a detached garage, even an attached one, there's usually a side door to the garage.
Right.
And then when you walk out that side door, there's what would be a stoop, I guess.
I can't even tell you exactly what the dimensions would be, but it's just like a little landing before you get to ground level. You know what I mean? And that's your stoop, Mike, right there. That's what we're getting you. It's your last day. Wendy, Kevin, and I all pitched in. We bought you your own stoop. I hope you enjoy it.
I do not have a stoop in my house currently, so we could use one.
Oh, you're going to be so proud.
By the way, Norridge, north of the Eisenhower.
Yes.
So there you go.
In Brooklyn, where my son used to live, texted 630, most people didn't have garages, so when they wanted to have a sale at their home, they would have a stoop sale.
Yeah, I could see that. Also, for some reason, and this could be a stereotype, but I picture people in Brooklyn sitting out on their stoop on a hot summer night.
Well, yeah, because they don't have a big deck because they don't live in Naperville.
Right.
So they have nowhere else to sit.
There's no option. You have to sit on your stoop.
Well, Mike, I will back you up.
Please believe me. I didn't ridicule you. I just thought it odd that somebody...
Did he ridicule you?
No.
He berated me a little. Verbally,
no.
Verbally.
I wouldn't do that.
You live for that moment of saying an old grandfatherly word and having these young punks not know what it is.
I didn't think... I think if I said stoop to my daughters, they would know what that was, I think.
Call them and ask them.
They've asked me to not call them about such trivial things.
The downward... Oh, wait. I'm looking up stoop, and none of it goes with the part of the garage. A porch with steps in front of a house or other building.
Yeah.
So it's a porch, a platform.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of exactly what the difference is. If I was walking down a neighborhood, I could go with you. I could go, that guy's got a stoop, that guy's got a porch. Porch, stoop,
Let's
stoop,
go do
porch.
That.
Do you want to do that?
Porch is really more of a place you hang out, right? A stoop is just kind of a way to get from the ground level up to the step.
Yes.
Or up into
it's
the
more functional
the entrance.
Than it is. Yeah, yeah. That's right.
So growing up in Brookfield, we had like 5 steps, and then there was like... an area that really wasn't big enough to put a lawn chair, but you could put a potted plant. Is that a stoop?
I think that would qualify,
that's
Ryan.
Stoopage. Yeah, I would like think so.
Yeah.
I've had a stoop all these years and didn't even know it.
How about that? How about that?
Mike, where will you be going back to college?
I'm going back to the University of Missouri in Columbia.
Did you learn anything working with us over the summer?
Until just now.
Learned what a stoop was? No, I learned a lot. I had a lot of fun with Kevin back there producing and helping you guys out, and it's been a blast. So thank you both very much.
Thank you so much. Yeah,
we got a big party for the second half of the show.
Yes,
not really. Yeah. Don't plan on that.
A bigger cake than Andrea Darlis.
Way bigger. Yeah, way bigger. All right, a quick break. A lot more show with Bill and Wendy WGN.
All right, Stoop Talk 101. We got to find out about a stoop. I guess I've had one my whole life and didn't know I had one.
I'm shocked you didn't know it. What did you think it was out there?
The front porch.
The front porch.
Although now that I have a wraparound front porch, that's a porch.
That's a porch.
This is just...
just a little place where you can collect your thoughts before you either before you enter your house or leave. Just a moment to yourself to consider things.
Do I yell at the kids because the bikes are on the front lawn? Do I yell at the husband because the car's up on the front lawn
that's
on blocks?
This is the purpose of the stoop right there.
Steve, you know the difference between a stoop and a porch because I need help.
Yes. A stoop is a single section of concrete that you literally use 1 foot as to get up into a house. So it's basically it's one stair.
It's the gateway.
It's literally the gateway, but you're not going to be able to use both your feet because it's a stoop.
Not enough room for 2 feet.
1 foot, and then you walk in.
Yep.
If you're going to be able to walk on it, that's a porch.
All right, well, riddle me this, Steve. I have a wooden front porch, and then you have to step up to get into the house because it's an old house built in the 1800s. But that's not a stoop. That's just a step. When is a stoop a step?
Do you know that one, Steve?
Well, that would be called a stair.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
And why is that? Why wouldn't you just walk from the porch right into the house? Why do I have to step up to get into the house?
Because you need some time to transition. It's like when astronauts come back from outer space. They need to be in it. You know, there needs to be a little space between the space and the Earth space.
And now with the real answer, listener Steve.
The real answer is they didn't build your porch high enough.
Right.
Ha ha.
So,
substandard workmanship.
An apron? That's on the front of your garage. That's that little section of concrete that goes from your garage door out. It could be 6 inches. It could be 18 inches. Hence, it's an apron. You don't wear an apron on your back. It's an
anymore.
Apron on your front. Well, anymore, yeah. Right. Well.
All right, but see, now we don't have an apron because we have a driveway.
Wow, you're rich. You got all this stuff at your house?
We don't have the deck that you could have had in Naperville,
wow.
though.
Well, technically, it's not a driveway. You're not driving it. You're kind of parking your car in it, right?
It's a parkway.
So wouldn't it be considered a parkway?
Our visit has just gotten old, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Have a great day.
And thank Gallagher right, for writing some of Steve's material.
Tomorrow, can we talk about gangways?
Yes.
Okay.
Gangway
right.
talk on Friday.
Okay, good, because I want to get that one resolved.
The gangways
too.
In the city have gotten out of hand, Ryan. I just want to go on record as saying that.
Well, that's why they're called that.
I know that.
Rich,
the gang to congregate.
You have a different take on stoop versus porch?
Yes. Like, if you've got, you know, like on the back of your house, you've got like two or three steps to go up into the back of your home.
Yes.
That's considered the stoop. A porch is the extension away from your house that you walk up to and can sit on.
So could you have a stoop and a porch?
Oh, now yes. you're talking.
You can.
Yeah.
I think that's what we had in Brookfield, because you'd walk up five steps.
When you lived with J. Paul Getty?
And then at the top of the steps was just a little area that was really enough for a planter. That would be the
yeah.
stoop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now you know.
All right.
And I was always told, because I live out in Rochelle, and we used to have milk delivered to the house, and the stoop was the top flat part. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It wasn't the steps. It was the top of where you walked into the home.
Uh-huh.
Because they always said that insulated milk thing had to sit on your stoop for them to make your milk delivery.
And in the house, they call that stoop a landing.
That's correct also, yeah.
You made total sense to me, Rich. You have cleared up. I hope Mike was paying attention. Mike Rizzo, yes, he was. Thumbs
he
up.
He was. He knows now.
All right, perfect. Yep. Thank you, Rich.
Yep, you're
now
welcome.
Now you know
guys.
This.
Great show.
Thank you, sir. Now you could teach a class at College of DuPage, probably, on this.
I put the stupid, stupid. I know.
I didn't. Nobody
I know,
said that.
Whatever.
Nobody
Go
said
ahead.
That. All right, we need to take a break. We have a lot of different things on the show today.
More stupid things.
More stupid things. I wasn't going to say that, but as it turns out, you're right. So stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
I didn't care more than words can say. If I
All right, I know that I know this is a little bit of a stretch why we're playing this music, but you can probably figure this out, right?
Yeah, I can figure it out. Although you said this was their most famous song, I don't believe you.
You don't think so?
Uh-uh.
No? Ryan, do you know, I don't know, you're probably way too young to put this together.
No, I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
All right, we were going to give a little update about what happened yesterday where I had some ink on my pants. And that band, of course, that we just played, of course, the Inked Spots.
Ah.
You're good, Lef.
Thank
You're
you.
Good.
Thank
if you have to explain the accompanying
I know.
Song,
I know.
It's still good.
All right. Yesterday on the show, at the beginning of the show, I inadvertently had ink in a most inopportune place. And I was embarrassed by it. I don't know how it happened. I think just because I had an open pen in the wrong place, and I got a lot of ink on myself. And I didn't know what to do. I couldn't go outside with ink there because you would notice it right away. Very white shorts.
Yeah,
very
but
white.
I got to tell you, the spot was so tiny. It was, and it wasn't like, you know, your pen broke in your pocket and you had a big splotch.
Right.
It was a tiny little quarter inch line of
right.
blue ink.
Is that from wrestling calamari?
Yes.
Gotcha, huh?
Yes.
Oh,
it
I get
took
it.
Me down.
You two are a match made in heaven. Can I tell you that?
Ryan's a genius. So my fear was if I put something on it, like my first thought was, well, club soda. Everybody always goes, put some club soda on it, dab it with club soda, and that will dissipate the ink. But then I've got this giant wet spot there plus ink.
And someone said the club soda is more for a greasy, oily stain.
Yeah, right.
Than it is ink. Or
right. We also have Tide Stick in the office. Cause
well, we don't. It's Kevin's.
It's Kevin's. Kevin goes through like two a week. He's always spilling
ink. And stains just infinitely live on my pants.
Yeah.
It's just a thing.
So we considered that. But then many listeners either texted in or called in or both saying, no, what you want to do is you want to get some hairspray on that and do it now.
And I am the queen of all hairspray. If you knew me in the 80s when my hair, I don't even know how I got it so big. Very Flock of Seagulls.
Right.
I can't do that anymore.
Right.
But I use hairspray every day and never heard of spraying hairspray on ink, ever.
I had heard of it. I'd never done it. And it's amazing because within seconds of spraying it there, the ink did kind of dissipate. But all it did was it got brighter
and
spread out.
But then it kind of disappeared. You kept spraying it over and over again.
It got brighter and then it just
faded,
but you could still see that there was blue there in an area that, again, I'm not comfortable with it being blue.
And you don't like something down there to be blue, if you know what I'm saying.
I do not. So I sprayed it. I let it dry. I then went outside. I didn't get a lot of stares walking down the street. Nobody was just pointing and laughing, not as much as usual anyway. And
the spot didn't really show. I mean, if you looked close up, and who really stares at you there?
You don't know.
If you looked close up, you could see a spot, but right. it wasn't very noticeable.
But if I said to you, there's a blue spot somewhere on my pants, within seconds you'd go, there it is. I see it. Where's Waldo? It's like a game of Where's Waldo? There it is.
I don't know where Waldo is, and that's your pet name? Really?
So
find another one.
After the show, I said to myself, I need to have this professionally taken care of. I could probably throw it in the wash, but if something goes wrong...
What is going to go wrong? It's a pair of shorts. They're cargo shorts.
Right.
You spray Shout on it, or just shout it out. Get
right.
out!
Right.
And you wash it.
Right. But there's always that slight chance that something could go wrong, and then I'm out another pair of pants. And I've lost pants to ink stains in the past, and I feel good about it. So I took it to, there's a dry cleaner that I've brought other clothes to for things like
this. You took a pair of cargo shorts to the dry cleaners?
Third time this summer I've brought a pair of shorts in to the dry cleaners. They're happy to have my business.
Well, yeah, because you're the only one who brings shorts in there. Kevin, have you heard of this?
No.
To your credit, when I walk in, they call up my account immediately. Like, they know my name and my phone number and everything. They just go, put it on the pile. They know, right? So I've been in there a couple times. For some reason, whenever there's a couple restaurants that whatever I eat in there, I always get an oil stain either on my shirt or my pants or somewhere. There's some oil stain. I don't know how it happens.
Did you ever hear of a washing machine?
Yeah, but again, I would rather pay, it's $4. I'd rather take it in and for $4 have the peace of mind that they'll professionally get it out or I'll sue them.
And you get a hanger along the way, right?
You get a free hanger.
They don't hang your shorts.
No,
up.
They do.
Oh, they close
pin it. Can I tell you that? Yeah, the downside
is
they don't safety pin it. They use, I should bring these in because I've never seen anything like this before. There's these little gold pins that are about a half an inch. And it takes me to unpin.
That's
anytime
a safety
pin. No, but it's like a super safety pin. It's this
I know,
big.
But you
it's
use
so
it
small.
In sewing.
But it takes me like 25 minutes to get. They always
your
put
hands
four,
are too big. You got to find a baby to
know,
release that thing.
I know. It takes me almost a half an hour just to get the four safety pins undone. All right, so here's my conversation with the lady behind the desk. She already knows. She's seen me. I come in almost once a month with a similar problem. So she gives me this stare, like, what is it this time? And I say, here's what, I know you can do this. I pointed to it. I said, here, there's obviously ink here, but I go, I might have made it worse. I don't know. I might have made it better. I might have made it worse. I put hairspray on it. And there's no reaction at all from her. She just keeps looking at me.
I don't think she even listens to you when you come in.
I don't think she does. She just keeps.
Oh, Tim again.
She's staring straight ahead at me. And I go, so I put the hairspray on it, and then I explained what you already know. I said, and what it did was, I tell her the chemical process. I told a lady who's in the business and has been for 45 years the chemical process. So then I said, did I do the right thing, or did I do a bad thing? And then like 5 minutes passes. She just keeps looking at me. She doesn't say anything. And she said, you do what you need to do. And I go, no, but was that a good thing? Like in the future, because she knows I'll do this again. I go, would I want to do the same thing again? And she just cuts me off and she just waves her hand and she goes, do what you think is right.
I'd find another cleaner first
of
all.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, because you need to, she's just rolling her eyes at you. It's like, whatever you do, I don't care.
That's
I'll get
it.
The stain out.
That's it, exactly.
I don't need to know what you did. I don't need to know what you
right.
want to do.
Right.
Just give me the pants.
I'm in the business of fixing your mistakes.
But here's, like, immediately, this is what registered in my head. Have you ever said to a plumber, because I've, this has happened
don't
three.
Don't show me your crack. Yes, several times.
There's that. But I've said, on three different occasions, when we have some sort of a backup with our plumbing, we get liquid plumber or a similar thing. And then I always say to the plumber, I put liquid plumber in there. And my plumber always does this. Worst thing you could do.
It's
worst
bad
thing
for
you
the
could
pipes.
Do.
It disintegrates the pipes.
But then... I never know if that's true or if that's just bad for their business. So they're telling me that. So with the dry cleaner, I'm thinking, is she telling me, do what you want to do? I don't care. Because that's bad for her business. Like if I sprayed it properly, the stain would have come out and then she's out $4. Although she gets to keep four little pins. Like, I don't know if that's legit or not.
She doesn't want to get involved with you in any way, shape, or form. She just lets you talk, and when she hears silence, she goes, okay, they'll be ready tomorrow.
On two different occasions when I brought Steph in, I see her going for that sign that's in the window, that we're closed sign, and it's not like even close to the hour. It's like 5:12. You're closing at 5:12? Yeah, we close at 5:12 now.
She's not going to tell you because it's going to ruin her business, but I'm telling you, she has nothing invested in you. She just, I mean, she doesn't want to help you.
I know.
She doesn't want to hurt you, but right. she doesn't want to be involved with
right.
you.
Right. It's not worth the $4 to her for me to come in with these problems. You should have seen, though, during I'm explaining this thing with the hairspray, and she's like, I was doing this when you were in first grade. I didn't go to kindergarten. I got pushed ahead. When you were in first grade, that's when I opened the store.
Any chance you have to brag about your intelligence and your ambidextrousness.
I used my left hand when I handed her the shorts, just to impress her. I could hand you my shorts with my left hand and my right hand, because I'm ambidextrous and a former genius. That's what I said as I was giving her my pants.
Although you mentioned, what Ink Spot song did we play at the beginning of this?
If I Didn't Care by the Ink Spots.
I've heard of the band. That song didn't sound familiar, but I would like to just get out the old Victrola, if I could, for 1 second.
Sure.
Let me put the needle down, and I'd like you to hear this Ink Spot song. And the title is Your Feet's Too Big.
This is good.
Isn't this great?
I like them.
Gotta crank it a little more.
Isn't this great?
I love it.
I love this. And they became, trivia question, the Ink Spots became Panic in the Disco. Did you know that? They morphed into Panic in the Disco. All right,
you're killing me.
We need to take a break. More show ahead, Bill and Wendy, WGN. This is also the Ink Spots. Weren't they versatile?
Yes. I got, you know how when you're looking at Facebook and sometimes you see a celebrity death?
Yes.
And then you go, oh my God, I feel so horrible. And then you find out it happened like 5 years ago
yes.
or 10 years ago.
Yes.
I got sucked into something, a Doors movie.
The movie about the Doors or a movie that the Doors were in?
Both.
Not the Val Kilmer.
No. Movie. That I've seen. He did a great Jim Morrison, but
he did.
I love the Doors.
Yeah.
Love the Doors. And so I see something, advertised. I don't know if it was Facebook or Twitter. I think it was Twitter. And they said, you've got to see this. And it's called When You're Strange.
Mm-hmm.
It's, Tom DeCillo's, movie about the Doors.
Do you remember you and I interviewed him? We had him on many years ago.
About this movie?
No, about another movie he made.
I would like to talk to him about this movie.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp narrates it, which he's perfect for it because uh-huh. it's pretty emotionless when he's saying, and Jim wanted to incite the crowd, and so he did.
Oh.
In Miami.
He keeps pretty even keel while narrating it?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But it's there is so much, there are so many great clips of the Doors live in action. Just it's really good for Doors fans.
Yeah.
But I saw this and I'm like, oh, I'm gonna try and find it. So I found it on Vimeo. So I watched it with Spanish subtitles, which I couldn't read.
Why wouldn't you?
I just held my hand over
the
bottom of my laptop, and it's really good. But it came out in like a while ago. 2010.
Like years and years? Oh, well, that's not terrible, but why is it getting mentions now?
I have no idea. And it's really, if you're into the Doors, I highly recommend it. Oliver Stone had that great movie with Val Kilmer, and Billy Idol was in there too. Do you remember?
Yeah, I kind of do remember a little bit of that.
He
right.
was just in like a bar scene, I think. He wasn't in it as Billy Idol. But he was acting in it. And that's a pretty good movie. Did you like that?
Oh, yeah, very much. Very much. I think, and I'm trying to remember whose death was just noted less than a year ago. Oh, Facebook does this thing now. There's a feature where on a 3-year, 5-year, or some other year anniversary.
5 years ago, 7 years ago today.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of people don't understand for some reason, maybe it's not flagged properly, that it's the anniversary of something. Less than a year ago on Facebook, there were all sorts of notices about Larry Lujak's death, when in reality he had already been dead for quite a while. And he's not the only one.
Oh, it happens anniversaries. All the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, like I keep getting things from 7 years ago now. I'm getting the
thing. That might be it. Is it 3, 5, and 7 that they seem to want to denote on Facebook? Because I'm getting the same.
What odd years.
I don't know why they chose those. I'm not sure.
No, because all mine are when I took Tiki to obedience school, and he has his little graduation cap on, and then he doesn't. I never stuck with it. He knows how to sit and eat. That's pretty much it.
He went on to a finishing school after that, did
no,
he not?
No, but so we've had him 7 years. I mean, in a way, I'm glad that Facebook does this because it's like, oh, wow, we just got him 7 years ago.
But anytime I see those, I go, wait, I'm old because that just, in my head, that happened 6 months ago, not 7 years ago.
I'm just pissed at how much better I looked 7 years ago. That's what I get mad about. But so this came out, again, it was on Twitter. I almost said Twitter, like Marietta Huffington.
It was on the Twitter.
And I watched it. It's only like a little over an hour, maybe 70, 80 minutes.
Yeah.
But just some of the footage and just some interesting things you didn't know about Jim Morrison. His dad was in the military and actually worked on one of the aircraft carriers that was sending planes out to Vietnam, and they had a falling out because his dad wrote him a letter saying, "You'll never amount to anything. You know, why are you sticking with this music business?" And then, like, his mom came to a show in Washington, D.C. to see the Doors, and he refused to see her. And then at the end, after Jim lost his life when he was part of the 27 Club, his dad came out and said, "My son did things with his own free spirit, and I respect him for that." It's really...
Oh, that was nice.
It's just cool seeing these old footage files, file footage of the Doors in concert, of course, the Miami concert, where he did a lot of acid before he got on stage a lot of times. And what was amazing to me is you have Ray Manzarek on keyboards, John Densmore on drums, and Robbie Krieger on guitar, and... When Jim, like, at one point, he had done a block of hash before he went on, and he just collapsed on the stage and, like, was unconscious. So the rest of the Doors just played the rest of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, and just watching some of this footage of the narrator, Johnny Depp, saying, "The band did not know where Jim was going to go next." And they're all just jamming behind him, and Jim would just say anything he wanted, and you can just see the looks on their faces, like, where's he going now?
Right. Remind me, because I don't remember, after he died, did the rest of the band try to stay together for a little bit? They did, didn't they?
They had Ian McCullough from Echo and the Bunnymen fill in for Jim Morrison, but that was many years later.
Right.
There were times where Jim Morrison quit. He found his love, Pamela Courson, and moved to Paris for a while and just said, "That's it, I'm moving." Ray Manzarek talked him back into it. While he was in Paris, the three remaining members sold their L.A. Woman song to a car commercial.
Oh, nice.
And Jim came back and said, why would you do that? Yeah. Why did you sell out? And they said, well, because we tried to contact you for days, couldn't, and we thought you'd like it. And he's like, well, I don't. And they...
That's a problem.
It's a really good... I don't know if it's a... It's not a documentary. I don't know if it's a biopic. I don't know what it is, but it is...
People Are Strange is the title?
When You're Strange.
When You're Strange.
And if you're a Doors fan, I really was sucked into it and just watched the whole thing yesterday.
Oh.
Found it on Vimeo, again, with Spanish subtitles. I would actually buy this thing to have in DVD form. And what did we talk to Tom DeCillo about? How come I don't remember any of our history?
He made a movie, and I don't remember the full title, but I know the word blonde was in it for some reason. I can't remember the rest of the title, but we had him on to talk about that movie many years ago.
Living in Oblivion?
Oh, yeah. You know what? it was Living in Oblivion, but he all isn't there another title that he did, the Something Blonde? Are you looking at all of his work? Yeah, we had him in studio many years ago when he was just starting out.
Was he good?
Yeah. And we said, we'll have you back in 25 years. So we got one more year. And we have to have him back in.
Box of Moonlight? The Real Blonde.
The Real Blonde. That's the one. Yeah, he was talking about that one. He had just finished it. So what year would that have been?
That would have been...
In the 80s? 90s.
97.
Yeah, 97. All right, we need to take a break.
But watch that. It's really good.
All right, you talked us into it. A quick break, some news, and then more show. Will this be a Hochberg Thursday? You know it will be a Hochberg Thursday. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Well, he went down to dinner in his Sunday best. Excitable boy, they all said.
Excitable boy. He's Hochberg.
Hey. He's Full Metal Hochberg. He's here to help you. We're 312-981.
That's the name of the segment.
Full Metal Hochberg, 312-981-7200.
That's very creative.
David, of course, from Pearl Mortgage. Of course. How are you, David?
P-E-R-L. Nice to see you.
P-E-R-L, WGNDavid.com for all the information that you need. Excellent. I'm fantastic. I popped an Ambien before coming on because you always say I'm excitable and trying to go low key today.
It's working.
For
whatever
20
it is.
Seconds.
We'll see how long. All right. Until you
I give
set
him four
me
minutes. what would you like to talk about
great,
today?
Great news. The Illinois Housing Development Authority announced at the end of July that they were coming out with a new housing program to help people that were underwater.
A lot of people are still underwater?
In certain areas, yes. Like starting from, I would say, where we're at now, going north, you're pretty well back to where you were in North Shore up to Lake Forest, pretty much until you get to Waukegan, still having some challenges up there. And then south, we'll say to about past Bronzeville, okay, mm-hmm. it's a little dicey when you get into the Hegwisches and those type of areas, the Daltons and the Englewoods and the mm-hmm. Austins. It's still a little rough on value there. So the Illinois Housing Development Authority, IDA, you can go to IDA.gov to get more information, or you could send me an email by going to WGNDavid.com, and I'll send you the same information. It basically enables people. You have to meet certain income qualifications, and each county has their own income breakdown, so I'm not going to go into income breakdowns because there's 20 or 30 different counties in Illinois. Mm-hmm. It's from Chicago down to Carbondale and from the Mississippi River over to our eastern border. So it's the entire state of Illinois, which is great, okay, because there's still a lot of people listening right now in southern Illinois and the middle parts of Illinois that are still getting hammered because the property values haven't come back to them yet in the Piatones and the Marseilles areas and in those areas. The property values are still starting to inch up, but a lot of people are still underwater. And underwater is this, okay? This is what underwater means. And the program will, you have to be at least 110% underwater. So this is what it means. It means that you owe...
More than the house is worth.
I'm going to break it down as simple as I can. You owe $110,000 on your home, and your home is worth $100,000. Mm-hmm. It's that simple. And then you just scale it up. You owe $200,000 on your home, and your home's... You owe $220,000 on your home, and your home is worth $200,000. So what you do is you take your mortgage balance and divide it by your property balance, and that gives you your loan to value. And you have to be one of the triggers is you have to be at least 110%, 10% upside down. So your loan to value has to be at least 110%. And there are a lot of people that still are upside down by at least 10%. And if you think you are, this program is available to you. You still have to hit certain thresholds. There's income thresholds. There's housing value thresholds, and each county breaks it down differently. Now, the housing income is based upon the total income in the house.
So even if your kids are working?
Thank you. I talked to a couple in McHenry. She lived in a $155,000 home. She owed $175,000 on their mortgage. They fit the profile. They're over 110%. Of the value of their home. So they owe more than what it's worth by it's greater than 110%. Problem is, her and her husband make $85,000 a year. They met the $91,000 threshold. Problem is, they had an 18-year-old son that made $10,000, and they had a 23-year-old daughter living with them that made $15,000. You have to add the total housing income together.
That doesn't seem fair because the kids are saving for college and not probably contributing to the home bills.
Well, that and life isn't fair, so get over it. So here's the deal.
Let's not
get into what's fair, okay?
All right.
I have a
40
question.
40 pounds overweight. Is that fair? No.
It's not fair.
So let's go.
Is that our fault?
Yeah, no. Okay.
Another 10% and you can get some sort of
another 10%.
The government
and the state
will
pay. Well, they'll fund my diet.
How about that?
Wait, I have a question, though. So if somebody's looking at how much they owe on their house right now, until you get an appraisal, how do you know what your house is worth?
Well, that's a great question. And what you do is you take, well, it's the value of your house divided by your loan amount. And if you don't know, I use a site, you know, you go to Zillow.com, you could go to Trulia.com, where the best person to contact is a realtor. And it is Realtor. And the person that keeps emailing me that it's Realtor, it's not Realtor, so stop emailing
me. It used to be Realtor.
It's Realtor. I check with the Chicago Association of Realtors.
You don't say I'm driving a tractor. Well, you say I'm on a tractor.
I'm just telling you right now, I get emails all the time. I check with Brian Bernardoni from CAR, Chicago Association of Realtors, and he would know, so it's Realtor. So
don't get upset because you have to go to see
I get emails from this person.
Because if you're upset, you'll have to go see the doctor, and we don't want that.
And I don't want to send to the doctor.
See, that's
okay. Let's get over this. Okay, so I would call a real estate professional in your area who wants to build a relationship with you because eventually you're going to move.
Yeah.
And who knows better than a real estate professional what houses are going for, except the person that's selling houses for a living.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, I go to Trulia.com. That's what I use.
Mm-hmm.
Trulia. Okay.
But they're going to want somebody to come out and professionally evaluate your house, right?
Correct.
And
if you get an idea, then it might be worth it for you to get.
Before you spend $300 to $400 on an appraisal, talk to a real estate professional in your area. You don't have one. Drive around your neighborhood and look for a for sale sign. You know, pick up the local paper and who's got the most ads in it. Okay.
Yeah.
Just say, hey, I'm thinking about, you know, I'm looking for a value. Can you help me? And of course they're going to help you. They're salespeople and it's a hot, cold, warm lead for them. They want to build a relationship with you to sell your house in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I would go. And here's some other benefits that you need to be aware of. Number one, you have to have made your last 12 mortgage payments on time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And these are rules directly from Ida. And not all lenders are offering this. And I'm happy to say that Pearl Mortgage is, but not all lenders are. Number two, certain income limits and home price limits. If you want to know what those are, I have it on a PDF. Go to WGN David and send me an email and I'll send you those limits. Must have a minimum credit score of 640. 640 minimum credit score. Yeah, you'll just make that. So you're good. So 640 conventional VA. USDA loans in order to get this. So you could get a conventional loan, Fannie Freddie. You could get a VA loan. You could get an FHA loan or USDA loan through IDA, Illinois Housing Development Authority. But a minimum credit score is 640. And you have to be at least 110%. Now, here's how it works. They will give you a forgivable $50,000 grant, up to 50 grand. Now, for the people out there who are freaking out right now, the state's broke. Where is this money coming from? This isn't state money. This is federal money. That our attorney general beat the bejesus out of the big banks and got in the settlement when all the banks were going kaput.
Yeah.
So Lisa Madigan sued. This is federal money. This isn't state of Illinois money because the state's broke.
Right.
So if you're like, you don't want to take this money because you don't want any state help, this is federal money that they got from the big banks in the lawsuits that they filed against the big banks and the mortgage meltdown.
And by forgivable, this refers to...
Thank you. I was getting to that.
Okay.
Over a three-year period of time,
yeah,
the $50,000 or whatever you borrow, and let's just say it's $45,000 because it's easy to do the math.
Yeah.
Every year that you live in the house, $15,000 of that loan that they gave you to refinance is forgiven.
It evaporates.
It evaporates. So if you're in the home for 3 years, for 36 months,
you don't
have to pay the money back.
Boy, is that nice.
Now, if you move, something unexpected comes up and you have to sell the house, whatever portion of that 36 months that you owe money, you're going to have to pay it back to them.
That seems fair.
It's a great up to 50 G's.
David Hochberg is here from Pearl Mortgage. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. We'll continue this discussion next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Get the stories that make the city with unlimited digital access to award-winning Chicago Tribune News. Become a member today at chicagotribune.com. What are we calling this segment, Bill?
Full Metal Hochberg. David Hochberg is here. Some of us are scared, but many of us are learning. David, you just gave us some very good news about this new loan program. But here's my concern. a lot of people who need this the most are really living month to month. And if this is a, if they qualify for this, and I hope they do, they need it to happen fast. How long does it take from the time you, you realize you qualify?
Well, within 30 days.
Is it really that fast?
It's really that fast. The only thing that holds it up is the appraisal. Okay, because the appraisers are really backed up right now, and they're running about 2-3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So, and that, and no lender has any control over that. So, getting the documents out to you and turning it around, it's 24-48 hours. You getting it back to us, it should be 24-48 hours. We can start drilling it down.
Oh, I like that.
In terms of getting it back, getting it in to underwriter, getting it into processing, scrubbing it down. Once we get the appraisal, boom, it goes in, comes back in 24-48 hours, clear up condition. So, literally, you get a loan done in under a week, 10 days, if you can get the appraisal done, which we have no control over.
The reason I bring this up is years ago when they had the Making Home Affordable Act, Bank of America went out of their way to make it take a long time so that you couldn't possibly qualify. People who needed it the fastest.
For the modifications, what you're talking about.
Yeah, they kept changing the rules over and over and over again. And it wasn't other banks doing it. It was Bank of America directly doing it.
Okay,
and it couldn't have been more frustrating.
Because you're speaking from somebody that you know who had
experience.
It happened
to me, but
I
know, other than me, I know so many other people. They would do these seminars out in Rosemont with halls that were filled with people saying,
desperate people,
I've been going through
help.
This for 6, 9, 10, 12 months with you. You keep changing the rules.
I could tell you that it wasn't just B of A that was doing it. Okay, it was industry-wide. When the people needed it the most at 07, 08, and 09, when they're, you know, dropping dead at the side of the road.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, you know what? We lost this. Or, you know, we don't have this. And you've got documentation and fax copies that you faxed 13 pages, and they got 13 pages, and we only got 6.
Right.
It was a complete train wreck in 06 and 07. This is not going to the banks to handle that. That's not if we have to determine and fill out the spreadsheet. You basically fall within 4 or 5 things that you have to meet with this program.
Uh-huh.
And it's very, very simple to, you know, if you have the credit and you make a certain amount of income and your house is worth a certain amount and you owe 100 and your house is worth 110. In this example, you're at 110%. Or if you owe 125 and your home is worth 100, or you owe 175 and your home is worth 100, you know, they're only going to give you $50,000. So if you're really upside down, it's not going to work, because that $50,000 has got to get you under 100% loan to value, including your closing costs, including your prepaid. So if you owe 200 and your house is only worth 100, this program's not going to help you.
No.
Okay. But a lot of people aren't that messed up anymore. Okay. Because of home, the economy's turning around ever so slowly. Home prices are coming back in certain areas more rapidly than others.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, when you tell somebody that your home hasn't gone down in value in 6 months, that's a major accomplishment in certain areas, right? When it was losing 2, 3, 4, 5% every single year. All right. And we all have been through that for the past 5, 6 years. That was painful. So now what's happening is a lot of areas are back, and that $50,000, that the max that they're giving you, is going to be enough money for most people to get into a better position, to get their loan to value under I think the cap is 97%.
Mm-hmm.
So in that example, you owe 110, your house is worth 100, they'll pay your loan down with the prepaids and everything and get you to a $97,000 mortgage. With covering your closing costs and covering your loading up your escrow account, which is phenomenal.
Sure.
Because, boom, you just picked up a ton of equity in your home, number one.
Right.
You've got the escrow money, if you're escrowing your taxes from the current lender, coming back to you that you can put into play to pay down some credit card debt and recalibrate your debt and get into a much better position. And you just start, and then and what happens? You get out of your 5, 6, 7% loan. You start saving $300-$400 on your mortgage. You mentally, guys, it changes people's mental aspect and mental profile, because now they're like, oh, there's a gigantic elephant that's removed.
You can breathe.
And you can breathe again. You've got hope.
Yeah.
So
is hope, honestly. Just a little bit of hope.
Some people, that's all they need. And I'm begging people to just go to WGNDavid.com. Just send me an email. I'll send you the matrices to see if you qualify. It's a simple yes or no. If you can, great. And there's other tricks that we have. I couldn't help this lady down at Bolingbrook yesterday. Her and her husband made 150 grand. They were upside down. They made too much money. Family of four, okay?
Yeah.
So I hooked them up with my team at First Midwest Bank. They had $45,000 with credit card debt. First Mid was 700 credit score. So the First Midwest Bank has something called a Express Home Improvement Loan. All that is an unsecured loan for $25,000. It's a payment of $370. They're going to take the $25,000 and pay off $25,000 with the credit card debt that was costing them $1,250 a month.
Yeah.
They're going to be saving $800-$900 a month just by doing that little technique that nobody knows about, but I know about because I do this every day, and we've talked about it on the show a number of times because I bring it up every time, you know, whenever I can to help people. But, you know, if I can't help you, I'll look at your situation and give you 5, 10, 15 minutes of free advice just to try to better yourself and your family, which is the most important thing.
And that's, you know, you get people who say, oh, this is just a commercial for David Hochberg and Pearl Mortgage. In a way, yes, but I completely trust you. You couldn't help us at a time when we wanted a refi. So you gave us what to do and how to do it to fix it because, yes, ultimately you will then get our business. But you really do go above and beyond the call of duty to help people understand where to even begin because I don't know anything about financing or anything, so you're the guy to call, and how do people reach you?
312-751-1333, and the gentleman that's calling about the lot loan and the trailer, go to your local bank and get a consumer loan because that's the best place to go to refinance a lot and refinance a trailer or a double wide or whatever that you're living in that texted in.
That's just a caller on hold. You're clairvoyant in addition to everything else.
Hey, Jimmy, did you hear that?
Yeah, David, it's Jimmy.
No, obviously you didn't hear it.
No, I did.
It's Jimmy Shorts in Fort Wayne.
It's Jimmy.
Oh, goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
at least try to sound like sucky. That's wrong. Yeah.
And that Dave Pyler?
Plyer.
That interview he did with Kevin Matthews.
Is fantastic.
And I was a huge Kev head. I went to all of his concerts.
Right.
It was just hysterical.
Shows over at noon.
Oh, it's sucky, sucky.
Jim Shorts.
Dorothy Humphrey. It's a great podcast listening.
It's on WGN Plus.
It's
for people
phenomenal. Yeah, if you were a Kev head growing up like I was and listened to him, you got to go there.
Yada.
Yeah, whatever. All right.
David.
Thank you.
312-751-1333.
You were very well behaved today. Give your number again. I talked over you. I'm sorry.
312-751-1333. Go to WGNDavid.com.
We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
He knows which movies make you laugh and which ones make you cry. If you love films,
we do.
Then Dean's your guy.
He is.
So grab yourself some popcorn.
I am.
And not talk about
sure, we will.
Sometimes we do. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And our friend Dean Richards is here. You know him from the WGN TV Morning News.
Where I had my nose hair hot waxed out of my nostrils this
today? Oh, no.
You ain't seeing that on Good Morning America.
No.
Why in God's name wouldn't you just trim it?
Because we wanted to try something new.
You don't. Your hair's there for a reason in your nose.
What's that reason again? I can never remember.
To protect things
from... stick out and be ugly?
Yeah.
Well, no, that's why you have to quaff it, but you don't... You need some in there. Like some people who use those nose trimmers, they remove all the hair, and then in the winter, it's like the wind goes right through and gives you like a massive headache.
A windburn.
It's not like you have... You know, it's not like you've got polar bear fur in your nose keeping it warm. You know,
but little tiny cilia.
It's a few stray hairs that you know just hang out, and it's unsightly.
It is.
Oh my God, wow!
Some guys have it permed. Dean, did you ever see a guy who had it permed?
I didn't think of that.
Yeah,
I would have gone all Mr. Brady on in there.
I'm getting dreadlocks for my birthday.
They put a big wad of hot. You know, melted hot wax on a Q-tip and then cram it up your nostril. And
how do they get it out then?
It's very soothing when it's in there because it's nice and warm. But then
it
cools down and it, you know, gets hard. And then they yank it out.
Yeah.
Will DeGilio be using that this weekend?
What?
Straight out of context, Nick DeGilio. Gets hard, you whip it out.
Oh.
Rip it out.
And... Dean, would you ever have this done again? I mean, you would do it again.
It didn't hurt that much. It hurts more to pluck one hair out than to do this.
You're right. And, you know, now you can get a Brazilian, too.
I was thinking there are many other parts of my, you know, I'm Greek. I could do my nostrils again. That's how fast it grows back.
You have to do it daily.
Daily?
Every hour.
Like around 2 o'clock today, I'm going to be getting a perm on it. Like,
oh, no.
Be careful with that.
That's been my the highlight of my big day.
Well,
today,
that is a highlight.
Getting my nostrils waxed.
Dean, can I ask you? Wendy and I discussed this yesterday.
That sounds bad, doesn't it?
It sounds awful.
I might get. I wonder if you can get like you know how some people get designs.
Yeah.
In there, I wonder if I could do that. Like
you
inside
do that.
My nostrils.
Why couldn't you? That would look fantastic.
Thank you for saying that. You're very
you could
sweet.
Have. Remember how Bo Derek had those cornrows? You could do those Bo Derek cornrows.
Yeah, with the lifesavers in them every once in a while. Yeah.
Now we're talking.
Those were beads.
I might do that with my ear hair.
Oh, wouldn't that be nice?
Enjoy your lunch, everyone.
Wouldn't that be something? Dean, Wendy and I were discussing this yesterday, and we hope that in the 24 hours that have passed that this has subsided. But there's a huge fight in Hollywood between The Rock and Vin Diesel. Is everything okay?
I came so close to calling into your show yesterday because I was listening to the your dramatic recreation of the events as they were happening.
Yeah.
And I wasn't gonna jump into the conversation, but
you're always welcome. You know that.
Yeah, I feel weird doing that all the time. If it's important, I will.
All right.
But after all, it's just The Rock and Vin Diesel.
Right.
But we had to pick a side. Whose side would you have picked?
Oh, I'm totally on The Rock side.
Are you on The Rock side?
I'm the only one going with Vin Diesel.
Totally on The Rock side.
I just like to be different.
Because I've interviewed both of them. They're both very, very, very nice people, both of them.
Yeah.
Vin Diesel kind of has a history of, being very late for the interviews, like 2-3 hours late for the interviews.
That's unprofessional.
Maybe that's why I like him.
Things like
I'm
that.
I'm always late.
You can relate to him.
Yeah.
You can relate to him. So I can see if I was working with somebody like that.
Yeah.
Where it would, get me mad a little bit. The Rock, on the other hand, very punctual, very professional, very focused. Knows what he wants. If I was somebody like The Rock working with somebody like Vin Diesel, I could see where that would be very irritating.
Sure. But maybe Vin Diesel feels like, well, I memorized my line. I can just come in and say whatever I want. That's unprofessional, but maybe that's his stance.
Maybe that's, and also maybe he feels like I've been in every single one of these movies.
Yes.
Bill, I can't believe you have not even seen.
I've not
you
seen
haven't
a
been
minute
mildly
of one.
Curious.
No.
Just to see what all the kids are talking about.
No, I know I should. There's been 7 or 8 of them.
The next one will be the 8th one. I suggest.
Better catch up, Bill.
Yeah. You and Wendy and I.
We binge watch them.
We have a big listener party. Big listener party in Force Bill. We'll actually duct tape Bill to a chair so he can't leave. Bill's pulled this on me so many times. Oh, I'm just going to go get some cigarettes. I'll be right back. And you think after 3 or 4 times, I know he doesn't even smoke.
Right.
I keep falling for it every time.
But how close are they to Shakespeare's original work? Are they did they change them at
That's
all?
That's what they should do if you want to see
it. Are they based properly on Shakespeare's Fast and Furious sonnets that he wrote?
Are they?
They're pretty close. They are pretty close. They've updated the language a little bit.
They have to.
To make it a little more
reflective of the times.
You can't be driving a Dodge Charger and go, "Wouldest do you care to drag raceth down thou strip?" Right. You can't. You have to update. You have to hip up the talk.
Yeah.
Can I just say, SNL, if they're listening, that is a great sketch
that they should do. Shakespeare's Fast and Furious 8.
We'll sue you if you do it, but go ahead.
Try it.
We encourage you to do it. Actually, the Fast and Furious movies, they are what they are. They're entertaining. They're fun. They're just a big old adrenaline rush.
Sure.
And I got to say that I have not hated going to see these. I actually kind of enjoy for what they are. I don't take it too seriously, but I kind of enjoy what they are. Here's what I think. The latest on this, Vin Diesel has finished his part of the filming of the new movie. He finished yesterday.
Yeah.
So he split. He's gone. Said goodbye to everybody. Tried to have a meeting with The Rock. There's no word on what happened with all that. But The Rock still has some filming to do, and The Rock's latest statement on this whole thing is that I think conflict is good when there's a good resolution to it all, and hopefully there'll be a good resolution to this.
Oh, I hope so, Dean.
Doesn't this whole thing just sound like those moments in between wrestling matches where the wrestler and the manager come out, they're fighting, and
yes.
I'm going to hit you over the head with a folding chair.
Yes.
And now you can't stop watching them because you've gotten engaged. That's what this whole thing stinks of to me, is a big old publicity
stunt
to get you to, you know, focus on the big feud that's going on between Dwayne the Rock Johnson and Vin the Slacker Diesel.
Vin Number Diesel. That's his nickname.
I think that's what this whole thing
is. It could be.
I
wouldn't be shocked. All right, there's a whole bunch of movies coming out this weekend. Dean will tell you what to see and what to avoid. So stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy along with Dean Richards on WGN. Dean Richards is here to talk movies with us. He does it every week. Dean, I'm hoping so badly you like this movie. I'm hoping so badly it was funny. Sausage Party, what'd you think?
Okay, you haven't seen any of the Fast and Furious movies, but you're interested in Sausage
yes.
Party, really?
Yes, I know that seems strange, but I like everyone involved with Sausage Party.
Me
I
too.
Really do.
That's the kind of renaissance man and woman that you,
right.
that you both are.
That's right.
Those people would be Seth Rogen and Kristen Wiig,
yeah.
Jonah Hill, James Franco, Paul Rudd, Edward Norton, Selma Hayek.
It's an impressive list.
Danny McBride, Bill Hader.
Wow.
It's an amazing voice cast. Craig Robinson is in it, Michael Cera.
Mm-hmm.
And their voices are extremely distinctive in this. So knowing their on-screen personas kind of adds a little bit to their personas. As foods that are on the shelves in the supermarket, and they're longing to get purchased. All they do is they sit on the shelves and talk to each other about how it's 4th of July weekend, and I hope I get bought this weekend because what they think is when you get purchased and put in the cart
mm-hmm.
and taken to the cash register and taken out of the store, that they have been told that is the promised land.
Yeah.
Something wonderful happens once you get out of the supermarket. Something wonderful happens. And they have this dream until one day a jar of honey mustard is taken to the promised land. The person didn't want honey mustard. They wanted regular mustard.
Mm-hmm.
So they bring the honey mustard back, and the honey mustard spills the beans on
literally.
What is really going on once you get out of that store, that your skin is peeled off of you, that you are thrown into vats of boiling water and on hot grills and eaten and consumed, and that it's hell. It's hell, I
sure
tell
it
you.
Is.
It's hell.
So the premise, you got to admit, is golden.
It's so funny.
The premise is actually quite clever.
Sure.
And the way that they execute it is actually really pretty clever. Here's where it gets a little tricky.
Uh-oh.
The whole plot line, I'm not saying that this is bad in any way. I'm just saying be aware that this, you know, this is all animated, of course. There are not actually talking products on the shelf.
Mm-hmm.
This is an all animated movie, a cartoon. But the dirtiest cartoon that I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
The worst language.
Yeah.
There's about every bad word that I've ever heard in my entire life.
Why don't you go see it with me, Bill?
All right.
That is, it would be kind of like a production meeting with Wendy, wouldn't it?
Yes,
just hearing all the language
yes,
and drug jokes. The movie is pretty explicit sex and drug jokes throughout, as you might expect from a Seth Rogen movie.
Uh-huh.
It's a movie that makes fun of nearly every ethnic group that's possible. For example, Edward Norton's character is called Sammy Bagel Jr.
That is so funny.
I can't imagine who they'd be making fun of there.
Bill Hader is, his character is named El Gaucho. Selma Hayek's character, where you get a little bit of like kind of the dirtiness
yeah.
and also the ethnic joke. Her character, his name is Teresa Taco.
Oh,
oh my God.
Very nice.
She is a lesbian, Teresa Taco.
Mm-hmm.
The main characters.
That took me a minute.
You just got that,
yeah,
didn't
I know,
you?
I'm yeah. sorry.
The main characters in
I'm
this
innocent.
Movie, Seth Rogen,
mm-hmm.
His name is Frank because he's a hot dog.
Sure.
And Kristen Wiig's character is his love interest, the hot dog package right next to the hot dogs on the shelf. Her name's Brenda. And all they want to do is get together, a hot dog and a hot dog bun.
Wow, interesting. All right, good.
In extremely graphic ways.
Yeah, I would imagine.
So you got your dirty, you've got your, you know, stupid, you've got your offensive. At the same time, I was kind of laughing my head off at this
good.
A little bit.
Good.
And it's bold and it's clever. I was just going to write this off as just being a 13-year-old boy's dream come true of, you know, swearing, drugs, and sex jokes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually a little bit more than that. I actually kind of like this movie. It's definitely not for everybody. It is a extremely hard R-rated film. But I gave it a Dean's List B. I liked it.
And, Dean, explain quickly, because when you see the previews of this, especially on TV, it seems like a movie you could easily take the family to, but no.
If it's the Manson family.
All right, then we'll be there.
Yeah, this is not one that, I don't know. I don't want to sell any grandmas short. But,
all right.
Yeah, this is, be prepared, you know, for some extremely irreverent stuff and language with this one. But, you know, if you're up for it, it's pretty clever.
And, Dean, sadly, we are out of time, but just really quickly, I know
really?
Pete's Dragon's getting a lot of attention.
Pete's Dragon is a remake of the old movie with
Helen Reddy and
Robert Redford. And
Helen Reddy?
Yeah, the original had Helen Reddy and
Candle on the Water was the original song. The original songs
Jim
that we know from the original movies are not part of this.
Oh.
The story is kind of based on the original. Now the dragon is, you know, special effects dragon. It's not an animated dragon. It's also furry that bothered me. To me, dragons shouldn't
scaly.
Be furry. They should be scaly. So that bugged me through the whole movie. But it's a nice enough. This one is a really nice enough family movie. I gave it a Dean's List C+. The movie that I love this weekend is called Florence Foster Jenkins, Meryl Streep, Hugh Grant, Simon Helberg from The Big Bang Theory, a real story about an actual socialite who fancied herself as being a singer. This was in the early 1900s in New York, but actually was the worst singer in the world, and nobody would tell her that she was awful. And it's funny, it's kind of sweet, it's kind of touching. Meryl Streep, of course, is amazing. Nice to see Hugh Grant back up on the screen again. That one I gave a Dean's List A. And also this sort of modern-day Western called Hell or High Water with Jeff Bridges and Chris Pine and Ben Foster, two bank-robbing brothers being pursued by a Texas Ranger who is like days away from retiring but is set on finding these two bank robbers. And it's a really powerful, really well-done kind of character study of these three guys. I really like that movie as well. Dean's List B on that one. As far as I could tell, I don't remember. I don't believe there are any sausage-having parties in that movie at all.
Still worth seeing. A lot of good news at the box office.
Yeah, good movies.
This
good
week.
Movies.
Great.
Something for everyone.
Dean, thank you. Have a good weekend.
Enjoy.
That's Dean Richards. We'll find out what Steve has next. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
What if we both went a little bit crazy? Blame it on Rio.
What if our hearts got a little bit hazy? Blame it on Rio.
Such a catchy tune.
It is a catchy tune, Kim.
What if we acted
it's
like
an
fools?
Earworm.
It is an earworm, and it we boy,
it's
going
to get into your brain and kill you.
Yeah, like a virus kind of.
A brain-eating amoeba.
Yep. It's musical Zika is what it is. It's Musica.
God, you're funny.
Do you know, thank you, do you know there's a big controversy around one of the Olympians, and that would be Gabby Douglas, whose work I admire. I think she's really good. Do you ever see Gabby Douglas? She does gymnastics. She's really good.
Yes.
All right. The other night, and I didn't see this, so I don't know. I've seen clips, but I didn't see it live. The other night, as they play the Star Spangled Banner, Gabby Douglas did not put her hand on her heart, which is customary during the Star Spangled Banner. And because of that, people are furious with Gabby Douglas, saying that this was unpatriotic and that when you hear the Star Spangled Banner, you are supposed to, as instructed from the time you're in grade school, you're supposed to place your hand on your heart to show the country and the world that you love America, and she didn't do it. And they're very upset with her.
Do you do it at a Hawks game? Or are you too busy yelling?
I don't put my hand on my heart.
You remove your hat, though.
I take my hat off.
Okay. You do?
I do. Yeah, I do. Because I don't want trouble from anybody.
Well, these little Olympians, and I say little because they're gymnasts.
Yeah.
I don't think it was, you know, a screw you America.
It wasn't.
I think her mind was elsewhere, and it was just... She right. had a lot going through
you
her head.
You would think that's what Bella Caroli teaches them at Olympic school.
One
well,
of the
first
things.
Thing.
You're
right.
Right.
One
it,
of the things he would teach you.
It should be a natural thing. I do it during at a Hawks game while I'm yelling.
Except when you think about it, and I'm not trying to be unpatriotic. I understand that it's in tribute.
You love our country. I know that.
It's one of my favorite countries.
I know.
It's incredibly symbolic, isn't it? I mean, really, is it that disrespectful to not have your hand on
your
heart?
Ask a service person that.
Well, people are so critical, especially, I mean, she is there to represent our country.
Sure.
So, I mean, I would see where people would get upset about it, but it's not like she's standing there burning a flag or flipping the bird or anything.
Right.
She's just standing
or
there.
Or on her cell phone
right.
or something.
I mean,
she's
right.
there's a lot of
respect.
Worse things she could do or roll her eyes. I don't think she did anything.
No.
Bad.
She
had her head elsewhere, guys.
She has a lot. You have
she
won
a
so
gold
much
medal
to
for
think
us.
About.
Hey.
Yeah.
They're going to take it away, aren't they?
No, I hope not. Here's the story out of MSN. Gabby Douglas felt the wrath of the Twitter police while receiving her gold medal. Robert Deutsch, who writes for USA Today Sports, said that Gabby Douglas is feeling that wrath because of what she did or didn't do. U.S. women's gymnast Gabby Douglas was criticized for not placing her hand over her heart during the playing of the Star Spangled Banner. This happened on Tuesday night. She has since apologized to anyone that she has offended, and that's a lot of people. A lot of people were furious with her. Douglas was ripped apart on social media for standing with her hands by her side as the U.S. national anthem was being played after she and her teammates received their gold medals. She then wrote on Twitter that she never meant any disrespect, and there's no evidence at all to say that she meant any disrespect. There's a couple of poses you can take while the song is playing. And she opted to just listen to it and not put her hand on her heart.
Well, if we would talk to her right now, I would ask her if she always maintains that stance during the Star Spangled Banner, our anthem.
Right.
Or did she just not do it that time? Because if she never does it, I mean, don't
right.
you want to, like, aren't you next to your teammates where they're doing it and you're like, oh, yeah, I should do that?
Except haven't you stood, like you mentioned, at a sporting event? Look through the crowd. There's some people who do. There's some people who don't. I had, like, early on, because I wear a baseball cap more times than not, and, like, I think once I didn't have it on, and people from other rows were going, hey, the hat. And I go, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't even think about it. Took the hat off. Everything's fine.
And you're not participating in the event. That is kind of the difference. But
true.
We have Gabby's attorney on the line. Hi, Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing
when I went
well.
To school back before 1960, when I graduated from high school,
yes,
we were taught you put your hand over your heart when you pledge allegiance, but you take your hat off when you sing the Star Spangled Banner.
I think we were taught the same.
Yeah, I don't know that. I just do it. I don't know. I just do it because I'm proud of my country. It's I don't know that I was told to. You're right. It was just for the pledge of allegiance.
Right.
I don't know if you have to do it.
But even then, I mean, think about it. I know how symbolic it all is, but if you...
Always the rebel, Bill Leff.
But you're not spitting on the country by not putting your hand on your heart.
During the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah, you're not. Are you doing anything? Are you? Why? You're not. You're just...
Because you got to show respect.
But isn't just the observance of that moment, that's the respect, isn't it?
No.
To stand with your hand over your heart just seeing...
You didn't do that during the Pledge of Allegiance?
We did, but I don't know.
You did it begrudgingly? What?
No, I wasn't doing it begrudgingly. I was just thinking, like, the whole time I'm going, am I supposed to be feeling my heartbeat? What am I mean, I know... my heart beats for America, but do I need to...
Oh, I like that.
That's the title of my book.
Doug, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate it.
Yes, ma'am.
If I was your teacher, I'd say, Lef, put that hand on your heart so you can feel your heartbeat when you're saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Why do you put your hand up when you're testifying in a court of law, swearing to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Would you not put your hand up then, too?
Well, that's all just symbolic, though, isn't it? It's all symbolic.
So why fight it?
It's like pinky swearing.
That is a completely different thing.
No,
pinky
it's not.
Swearing, you don't just put your pinky up. You intersect pinkies.
You're supposed to
touch.
I know.
couple them.
But just the mere fact that we're raising our hand like that when testifying in court, it's the same thing as pinky swearing, isn't it?
It is not. Are you kidding me?
If I ever go to court, like when you get put up on trial for something, I'm going to, instead of raising my hand, I'm going to pinky swear to something.
All right, first
of
all.
Do you pinky swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? I pinky swear.
First of all, why is it me that's going on trial for something? Second of all, like I in my right mind would have you be a witness for anything?
I'm not a witness for you.
You're a jerk.
I'm a witness against you.
You're a mean jerk. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, how you doing?
We're good.
Listen, I tell you, the way this country is today and everything, it's a wonder people even stand sometimes. You know, if it wasn't for everybody else standing, I think a lot of people would sit it out.
You're right.
I was at a 4th of July event, and we were outside. And it was kind of a remote location from where we were at, but they were going to play the national anthem.
Yeah.
And I'm a veteran, and automatically, when I start to hear the beginning of that song, or somebody says they're going to play it, I'm already on my feet.
Sure.
And I go both ways. Sometimes my hand is on my heart. I wear a baseball cap most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times I just go into the salute position a lot of times too, like I did when I was in the military, and I'll do that, which is also acceptable.
But don't
Yes,
people,
if you're in the military, Bill and I can't do
we
that.
We can't do that, but don't people ride you a little bit if they don't know your history and they just see you standing there with your hat on? Don't people say, hey, the hat comes
well,
off?
If they see me where I have a salute,
yeah.
You know, like the military do,
yes.
I'm a veteran and I belong to a veterans organization, so I still do that. You know what I mean? And,
yeah.
And you know what? I went to a Hawks game, and you know what? That's what we do, but you know what? I think it's deplorable. I really do.
That we yell during the anthem?
As far as I'm concerned, the national anthem is a solemn occasion.
I kind of agree.
But when in Rome. You know, but I will stand there with my hand over my heart or whatever, but you won't see me clapping and cheering or anything.
No, I get it.
I'll do it for you.
We get it. Yeah. Dennis, thanks for your service.
I forgot how that started, but that is something that is weird too, but it's tradition.
Transformed more into a spectacle than it has a song of solemnity.
Wow.
How about that? That vocabulary of the week calendar you got me paying off.
See,
thank you for that.
I get you presents, and I'd be a good witness for you.
Thank you. We'll take a break. More of your thoughts at 312-981-7200. Is Gabby Douglas being criticized fairly or unfairly for not putting her hand over her heart during the Star Spangled Banner? You tell us. It's WGN. I know, you're not supposed to talk over it. You're not supposed to talk over the song.
I'm like Pavlov's dogs. I hear that and my hand goes over my heart. It really does.
So whenever you attend a sporting event.
Yep. Parades, anything.
Parades, the same thing.
Garage sales. If they're going to play it on a boombox that I'm trying to buy, I will put my hand on my heart.
Then you'll put your hand on your heart.
And ask for $10 off.
That seems right. Gabby Douglas, U.S. Olympian, U.S. gold winner. Gabby Douglas is getting some scorn online because on Tuesday night, as she and her teammates were accepting their gold medals, they were playing that song, The Star-Spangled Banner, and Gabby Douglas did not put her hand on her heart. Many are saying that this is disrespectful, that it was a bad PR move, bad for America. They were taking all kinds of shots at her online. She went to Twitter and said, please believe me. I did not do this out of disrespect for anybody, out of the disrespect for the country. Some people put their hands on their hearts. Some people do not. She was one who did not.
Is she the only one that did not?
I don't think so.
Then
I would be shocked if she was the only one who didn't. I would be shocked.
This is when you wish the internet didn't exist.
Please don't say that.
What would you do with all your spare time if you didn't get stuck in those clickbait traps?
I'd be fine.
I'm telling you.
Be a learned man.
Why does everybody criticize everyone else? If you don't like what she did, then say, you know what? I feel terrible that she didn't do it. And then, you know what? Worry about yourself and you do it every
right.
time. Who? I mean, really?
Right.
It's land of the free,
home of
the Braves.
Yes. Of the Brave.
No, the Braves.
In Atlanta. In Atlanta it is. Here's what it says in the article over on MSN. While many were quick to jump all over Douglas, plenty of people came to her defense, some of them quite prominent.
Now, this is the time where if I'm writing the article, I mention who those people are, but they decided not to. Douglas, whose parents, Oliver and Lisa Douglas, are very proud of her.
Oliver.
Is now part of a gold-winning team that has its own clever nickname. Clearly, it wasn't trying to offend anyone. Now, again, here, this is where I put what the clever nickname is.
Yeah, what's the nickname?
It doesn't say.
The nickname of the gymnastics team?
Yeah.
It's the Final Five.
Oh, okay, that is clever. But
no,
Ryan,
it isn't.
If you're, well,
it's not that clever.
It's not, well.
Well, they are the last batch, I guess, in 4 years in Tokyo. It's going to go down to four-man teams.
Oh.
So there's kind of double meeting there.
Then they could be the Fantastic Four. That's a clever
there
nickname.
There you go. Fantastic 2020 four. Name. Patent pending.
But always. But wouldn't you, if you were writing this article and you put that, they have a clever nickname, you throw out the nickname. Or if you're going to say that some of her defenders were prominent, tell us who they are. It didn't. So that's where that stands.
Is clever nickname underlined?
No.
Because then there would be a link that you would click on that would show you the
clever. It wasn't underlined. It just said that the team has a clever nickname.
All right. Well, I don't know that she was the only one who didn't do it. Sandy, you have a great comment.
Right. I mean, here's the thing that surprises me is she has four other teammates, all of them standing in a row. You would have thought that when she saw every one of them had their hand on their heart, that she automatically would have done it.
Did you? No, I didn't see it live, Sandy. Were you watching the event live when it happened?
Yes, I did.
All right.
Yes,
so all of her, the other of the Fantastic Five or the Final Five, they were all doing their hand on their hearts at the time?
Right. The Fantastic Four had their hands on their hearts, and one didn't.
And one did not. All right.
Yeah.
And, but you know what? You have to understand. I mean, honestly, how much is going through your head when you're standing there and the anthem's going and you're receiving your medal?
Can't imagine.
Right? Although, can I just say something? On a very smaller scale, I played junior high and high school basketball.
That's the same.
And before every game, you get in the habit of doing it, you know? So now all of a sudden you don't forget it.
Yeah.
Well, I don't disagree, but don't you think that this was a much larger spectrum than that?
Much larger.
You're going through everything that's going on. Because, I mean, honestly, the funny part is did anybody go back 4 years ago and see if she put her hand on her heart then?
Wendy just said that. Wendy's looking for it now online.
I'm just really, that's the thing, because, I mean, I didn't look it up either. And to be honest, you know, I don't think she meant it disrespectfully. I really feel like, you know, you're young, you got a bazillion things going on in your head, you just won that. And, you know, she just honestly would have, because if she really felt like she was trying to be disrespectful, the minute she saw the other four did it, she would have threw her hand on her heart.
Right.
I mean, it's just natural when you see everybody else doing it. Oh, I better do that.
And Sandy, what about after this? She strangled an American Eagle. Did you think that that was disrespectful?
Have a nice day, Sandy.
I think
she
went too far there, Bill.
I do too. Wait,
thank you for calling. You just you have one step over the line, sweet Jesus. The U.S. Code Titles 4 and 36 specifies four circumstances for rendering the hand over the heart salute.
Yeah.
One, when the U.S. flag is raised or lowered.
Yes.
Two, when the U.S. flag is carried past in a review or a parade.
Okay.
Three, when reciting the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
And four, when the national anthem is played.
Yeah.
This is U.S. code. I don't know.
It's not enforced. The law. Nobody would take you to jail for not doing any of those things, but it's good policy.
Right. And the saluter should face the flag in all cases. If the national anthem is played when the flag is not displayed, the saluter should face the source of the music. This is too much to remember.
A lot of rules.
I'm done with rules.
A lot of rules.
If you're one who, honestly, I hear that song, I put my hand on my heart at parades, I cry every time the flag goes by.
Yeah.
With my hand on my heart.
Yeah.
Every time. I mean, you know what? There's no doubt I'm proud of our country, and I'm sure she is too.
I'm positive.
Big deal. She won us some gold. Leave her alone.
Right. What if she'd only won the silver or the bronze? Then do you come down on
her? Then I'd take her down.
Yeah, then you got to go to jail.
Then there would have been no song.
Right. Oh, that's true.
You never would have known.
What about that song, Blame It on Rio? Do you put your hand on your heart during that one? Because I always do.
It's not where I put my hand.
I don't know. Let's hear that. Kevin's so busy.
I know.
He's got to keep one ear on the listeners and one. Can we hear the Rio song? Because we're going to test it and see if people put their hand on their heart during that.
Put my hand on my hip.
I'm a little teapot.
I put my hand in little salsa hands.
How about that? Here it is. Look.
I put my hands over my ears if you want to know the truth.
All right, a break and then some news. That's me, Phil and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, all the fun that goes on behind the scenes here at WGN Radio. It's fantastico.
Sure.
All right. I like to do things once in a while that help other people. Not you, Bill.
No, I get it. That's fine.
I like to help, and sometimes I don't know what my skills are, so I offer my services. And on the line with us right now is Katie Hammerberg. Katie is the coordinator of Child Life Services at the Amita Health Alexian Brothers Women and Children's Hospital out in Hoffman Estates. Katie, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing really well. I'm looking very forward to Sunday. It's the annual Off to the Races fundraiser for the Amita Health Alexian Brothers Women and Children's Hospital. It starts at noon at Arlington Park, and I have agreed to MC, I think, for the third year in a row. It's so much fun.
It is, and I'm excited that you're going to be back. I wasn't there last year. I was there the year before, and I know we had a great crowd last year as well and the year before that.
And this is a time families are invited. Coming up in a little bit, we're going to give away a family four-pack to attend this event on Sunday. And really, families are essential. I was telling Bill off the air some of the things that are accomplished with the money you guys raise to help families that have sick children or children with cancer that can't afford help. Some beautiful stories.
So what I do for a living is I'm a child life specialist, and we rely heavily on philanthropic dollars in order to provide those services to our children and families that are here seeking help during a health crisis. And usually what we do is we just help kids understand what's happening and why. We provide support for the parents. Sometimes they're at a loss and don't know, you know, how to help their kids. They have IVs, they might have NG tubes, and are scared and nervous themselves. So what Child Life does is we come in and we really help to de-escalate that situation, lessen their anxiety, and we introduce a lot of play. So the benefits from this gala is going to help offset some of those costs for our Child Life Services and be able to expand those services, especially into our emergency department where we see a lot of these kids for the first time, as well as into our outpatient service areas.
What's the age range on the kids, Katie?
So we see from newborns all the way up to the age of 18. Hmm. Sometimes some of our older kids, who especially our cystic fibrosis population, who we now know are growing well past 13 years and come in for medical attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of Bill's daughters, well, both of your daughters will be starting college next week. One of them's going away to New York. And, Bill, you're going to be weepy.
Yeah.
I know it's coming.
Yeah.
But being a parent and even having a child or an infant before they can talk who has a cold or a fever, you freak out as a parent. I can't even imagine what the parents are going through when their child has been given the diagnosis of cancer or cystic fibrosis or other issues.
Absolutely. And I think they are looking for direction. They're looking for what role do they have, especially going forward in their child's health care. And so to have a collaborative medical team that can address many of those issues. And from the child life standpoint, we're there to help with that psychosocial need, that extra support when the medical staff has kind of left the room and they're at a loss of what to do. So lots of times child life will come in and just reassure the parents, you know, give them that feeling that they're still a parent even at the bedside, what they can do and what, you know, is appropriate. And sometimes it's just a matter of sitting and reading a book, doing normal daily activities as far as bathing and feeding, and sometimes those are the most things that get lost in a hospital stay.
And you've been doing this for, what, 22 years, definitely over 20 years?
Right. So I've been with Amita Health Alexian Brothers Women and Children's for 28 years. I started the program 28 years ago as a one-person program, and over the years we've been able to grow to a five-person team. And again, that is because of the generosity of you know, people that are willing to give, because they know that the difference that child life can make in a hospital stay for a child. And we rely heavily too, as far as with our sponsors, and some of our sponsors that will be there this weekend are Robert and Karen Fitzgerald, Superior Ambulance, and also Touchpoint have been very instrumental in helping us continue to do the work that we do.
Katie, we keep hearing that strides are being made, that progress is being made every day. Are you seeing this?
You know what? The hospital stays, in my opinion, what I see, are much shorter.
Yeah.
You know, we motivate kids who don't want to get up and start walking, especially after surgery. They're nervous. They're scared. Is it going to hurt? So part of our job is, how do we make that fun? How do we bring play back into the hospital setting? So we will do scavenger hunts and set them up throughout the unit and get them up and walking. We have a slushy machine. So those kids who might not want to drink, the novelty of having a slushy machine and not having to go to 7-Eleven to get it, gives them motivation to start drinking again and get them back on that healing path much quicker and out the door much sooner. And many times they don't want to leave. They're having a great time. They're having fun. They're able to come to the playroom and participate in an activity or a craft, and it makes that hospital stay a little more positive.
If there's a slushy machine
know,
and there's an opening,
I
may sign up for this. I love this.
Well, you're not the only one.
All right. Well, her name is Katie Hammerberg, coordinator of Child Life Services at the Amita Health Alexian Brothers Women and Children's Hospital. That's in Hoffman Estates. And this Sunday, it's a great family event. If you'd like to get tickets, they are still available. What's the best place to get tickets? Some great raffle prizes, too.
Yeah.
I don't know if you are on top of that. Do you have the info on some of the raffle prizes?
I sure do. The best way to contact for ticket information is Julie Baker, and she's our manager of events. And you can either give her a call at 847-385-7304, or you can visit the website, which is www.alexianfoundation.org. And I know their grand raffle prize is a one-week stay in a studio at the Four Seasons Residence Club in Carlsbad, California,
wow,
along with $1,000 of cold hard cash to spend while you're there.
It's the best kind of cash there is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's also a consolation prize of $1,500 in cash for the grand raffle.
Wow.
And that's $100 tickets, and they're only selling 150 of those.
So the odds of winning that are better than winning on the horses that I will pick at Arlington Park.
Well, it all depends on the name that you're going to pick of those horses. I say anything that has Katie in it, or, you know.
All right, we should work on that, because that is pretty much how everybody picks a horse, right?
Yeah.
Just by name.
Yeah.
All right, well, it's a great fun afternoon. Sunday, I'll be there at noon. My family will be there. Which annual one is this? I know you've been doing it. I've been with you guys for the last 3 years. How many years have you been doing the Off to the Races fundraiser?
This is the fourth year.
All right. I'm telling you, listeners, this is a great time. It's going to be a beautiful day on Sunday. I hear a high of 81 degrees.
Yeah,
you can
perfect.
Go bet on some horses, have some cocktails. It's really a great afternoon. Go to alexianfoundation.org to find out more information. And, Katie, I look so forward to meeting you, to seeing you again on Sunday.
So do I. Thank you for this opportunity. This has been awesome. It's been my first time on the radio, so first time for everything.
We could never tell that. We do, thanks to you, have a 4-pack of tickets to give away that will get people into the governor's room. Dress nicely, people. That's all I'm going to tell you.
You
can't
know
wear
from
jeans.
Experience?
Yeah.
Do you?
Or gym shoes.
Yeah, no cutoffs, no flip-flops.
Were you married to somebody who had an incident, Wendy, maybe, possibly?
Well, last year, I will tell you the story. I got Jimmy Mac got these new pants, and they were distressed. They had, like, the holes in them. They're supposed to be there. That's how you buy them.
Yes.
And we're in the elevator riding up to the governor's room, and the lovely elevator woman says to Jim, you're going to have to change your pants. And he just said, oh, that's funny. And she goes, I am not kidding.
Yeah, you can't wear those.
So they have a closet of pants in various sizes that he put on. And when he spilled a couple beers on the pants that he was wearing, he said, they're not mine. What do I care?
Yeah, that's a good
so
way to look at it.
So dress nicely. Huh. And how do we want to do this? A 4-pack of tickets for Sunday's event. It's Sunday at noon, Arlington Park. It's the Off to the Races fundraiser for Amita Health Alexian Brothers Women and Children's Hospital. So just a 4-pack of tickets. We have your permission to give that away, Katie?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's do caller 11. It's August 11th right now.
I was just going to say, and that's my favorite number.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I'm going to bet on a horse wearing 11. That's what
I
will do.
There you go.
It's caller 11 at 312-981-7200. Be caller 11 right now and win yourself those tickets.
Thank you very much, Katie Hammerberg. We appreciate talking to you. See you on Sunday.
Thanks, Wendy and Bill.
Bye, Katie. Take care. Have fun Sunday.
All right, 11th caller, 312-981-7200. They have a lovely buffet. It's I don't realize how fun it is to go to the racetrack. And I mean, I do $2 bets. It's not like
that's
I'm
all right.
Even
that's
if my
fine.
Horse comes in first, I'm going to win maybe $8.
Right. Will you quit your job then? Probably. You'll be rich.
I see your fingers are crossed.
They're
stop
not crossed.
It. All right. Can we just congratulate someone?
Yes.
Hey, Jesse. Hey, Jesse.
Hey.
You're going to the racetrack on Sunday.
Sweet.
Family four-pack. Do you have four people in your family that you're going to bring with?
Three people.
I do, for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah, only bring three, Jesse. I did the math. So they won't let somebody in if you bring four. All right?
You got it, Bill.
All right.
For sure.
All right, hang on, Jesse. We'll set you up. And really, if anyone else wants tickets, it's a really fun afternoon from noon to about four-ish, alexianfoundation.org, and look for their Off to the Races event.
Yep. All right. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. Are we rocking the Casbah? Do you feel we are rocking the Casbah? We're trying to.
I know that the Clash, I've loved the Clash for quite some time, and some of the kids today don't really know who the Clash are.
It's their loss.
But if you're watching Stranger Things, I think The Clash will turn around in popularity because of that show.
Their music is featured in the TV show Stranger Things.
One song is.
Yeah, and just one song, right. Mm-hmm. Right. Did you hear about this guy in Florida who has been banned from ordering pizza? He is no longer, the court has decided that he can no longer order pizza.
If that ever happened to me, there's no sense in living.
You would have to get the dream team. A new dream team, a new legal dream team would have to come to you to fight that in court.
I could not live not knowing. I mean, I don't order as much as I used to, but to never be able to
wouldn't
order
that be
a pizza
terrible?
Again?
Wouldn't that be terrible? Here's the story out of Huffington Post. A quick warning, it may make some of you cry. A life without pizza delivery, they say. That is a terrifying new reality for a Florida man who lost his right to order pizza after allegedly making too many crank calls. Randy Riddle, aged 49.
Oh, come on. He's got that name.
Randy Riddle.
That was the foreshadowing of what he was about to do sometime in life.
I know. His ancestors must have done pranks as well. I'd call myself the Riddler if I were Randy. Wouldn't that be my nickname? The Riddler. Hi, it's the Riddler.
I'd like a large cheese and sausage.
Right.
Just kidding.
Is your refrigerator running? Is this you, the Riddler? No. Because you said you were the Riddler when you picked up. Yeah, I know. Maybe that was a crank, maybe. Randy Riddle, aged 49. He should know better at 49, shouldn't he?
Yes.
Would allegedly call pizza places in Sebastian, Florida, and the surrounding area. He would then order pizza and either refuse to pay for the food or give them fake addresses. That's something you do when you're
12.
Yeah.
Maybe even younger.
10, 11, 12 is about the age you want to do that.
12's the cutoff.
You would order pizza for a neighbor, and then they would deliver it to your neighbor's house, and you would watch through the window and laugh.
I know, but can I tell you if we had, and I'm not telling if there are any neighbors listening, I'm not saying do it, but if somebody ordered me a pizza and it just arrived and it was a surprise
friend
pizza,
for life.
You wouldn't pay for it and just keep it?
You could bring me a pizza any time of the day or night, whether I ordered it or not. I'd
pay
for it, I'd eat
it,
and enjoy it.
Me too. It's like pizza, you can't turn it down,
can
you?
No. Randy Riddle cost local businesses at least $667, the newspaper said. Why would they come up with that? Wouldn't you round that off if you're just going to say at least? Just say $670.
$667. Oh, okay.
According to the paper. The Indian River County Sheriff's Office listed two counts of first-degree petty theft.
Pizza theft, not petty theft.
One count of second-degree petty theft, or pizza theft, as we have now rebranded it, and four counts of first-degree obscene or harassing phone calls.
Well,
I don't think these are obscene.
Was he doing pepperoni or sausage jokes?
Right. Right. That's what he was doing. Riddler, we know it's you, Riddler. Riddle me this, pizza place. Riddle was then released on bail on the condition that he not order pizza and was scheduled to return to court at the end of the month. I love that judge bargaining this. All right, here's what I'm going to do, Riddler. I will let you out under one condition.
Yeah.
You, sir, are no longer allowed to order pizza.
That's a serious punishment.
For this guy.
Somebody else can order for him.
I guess that's true. I'd be pretty upset.
Right. He'll call up. This is Andy Riddle. It's not Randy Riddle, is it? No. I've never heard of Randy Riddle. My name is Andy Riddle.
The same address? My brother.
We just bought a place together. That's why. Nosy. Now I'd like 1,000 pizzas delivered to my cross-the-street neighbor, please. He was previously convicted on making harassing phone calls back in 2008, the newspaper. So he's been doing this for 8 years.
And it doesn't sound like he's good at it.
He's terrible at it.
He's the bad Riddler.
Right.
He needs some help, you guys, because what 49-year-old guy still does this stuff?
That's a possibility. You remember the story about the woman who keeps trying to get on flights? She keeps getting arrested. Yeah. She keeps trying to sneak on flights. And you realize there's a problem there. I mean, she's been busted so many times. You know, there's got to be some
deficiency,
going on. Yeah.
Not enough vitamin D, I think.
Well, sometimes. Is that what it is?
No, come but down you're to like a deficiency.
D? Well, sometimes. And the worst case scenario of this is the David Letterman story about that woman who was convinced that she was married to David Letterman and kept breaking into the house. And other stars have had similar instances where people think that they're married or they have a relationship. I know Taylor Swift had some guy that was sure that they were engaged and that wasn't true. I mean, it's not exactly the same, but sometimes you'll have something stuck in your head. You just can't shake it.
Look at the guy who scaled the Trump Tower to get Donald Trump's attention yesterday.
Meet Donald Trump.
Which happened as we got off the air. This was breaking, and he was using the suction cups that Michael Phelps had used in an earlier cupping thing.
Is that true?
No.
You're making that up.
I'm making that up. All right. These were giant ones that you used to climb windows. You know, you see people do it in the movies.
Yeah.
Is if I'm not mistaken, a 20-year-old guy, isn't it?
Yeah, he was a young guy.
19 years old, yeah. Very slow climb, though. If anyone was watching that, I mean, you'd have to move the strap and then move the one hand and slide it over, tighten it up.
That's not something you can do very quickly.
No, I understand. But, we're used to seeing police chases out of L.A., and this was just kind of a slow-moving guy.
Ryan, you're too young to remember Spider Dan Goodwin. Does that name mean anything to you at all?
Does not.
All right, Spider Dan Goodwin was a guy originally from here. Who had the streak going where he would climb buildings, including, was it Hancock or Sears Tower?
Both.
Sears Tower. Oh, was it
both? It was both.
And the police were in a weird position because at some point they were using giant water guns to knock him off the building.
Which is not good thinking, really.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I mean, because he's going to lose his grip. And
I know.
Yeah, yesterday, they gave this guy plenty of space. Basically, they took away his options by removing windows, so he really had no place to go. If he continued going up, he'd essentially climb through a window, and they managed to get him that way.
Oh, no.
And he made it to the 21st floor. I was listening to Ro and Anna, and it's like, oh, he's only on, like, the fourth floor.
Right.
And then he kept climbing, obviously, very slowly.
Right.
And they apprehended him, and he... There's a weird. Do we have that video of he just wanted to
meet Donald Trump
and to say, you know, I have some information for you, and I think it would be very beneficial if you just listen to me. This is why I'm doing this, to get your attention, because we know you're a busy man and you're pretty hard to get in contact with.
Well,
but he's not talking. He's not like having a conversation. He's kind of saying it in a weird way.
It is a weird.
It's kind of a spooky, like, he's wearing a hood. Was he not?
Yes.
He was saying?
Yeah, for a while he was. Yeah, we can find the audio. We'll find the audio. All right, we'll go to the news. Ryan has the news and then a lot more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
It's Bill and Wendy, and about this time yesterday, we're about an hour early, a man... got on the Trump Tower on the fifth floor level, which is like kind of a terrace, and began climbing Trump Tower. And we were going to play the audio, but Kevin just left.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll just... NYC...
Is he climbing up the Tribune Tower right now? He's trying
Kevin
to replicate
brought
it?
Suction cups, Ryan, and I don't know where he's going with the suction cups.
But
he looked
know.
Like he had some kind of an agenda.
I don't think he could climb. I don't think you could. You have to have a glass building to climb the way that guy did,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, you do.
I don't think you can do it up a steel structure or a concrete structure like we have.
No.
Unless you're Spider-Man.
Even then.
Yeah.
Even Spider-Man, I think, would have a hard time.
All right, this kid's 19 years old. What do we know about him, Ryan? 19-year-old from Virginia.
We know he's he's nuts.
Why do you say that? Mission accomplished. He's trying to get Trump's attention. He got it.
Well, he was trying to talk to Trump.
He will.
So, I don't know if he will. I don't. As goofy as Trump is, even he knows when there's another loon in the area. I can't talk to this guy. He just climbs up buildings.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting YouTube video that he put together, obviously before he started climbing, where he talked about his support of Donald Trump and how he had information for Donald Trump.
I think we have that audio.
Hello, Mr. Trump. Do excuse my manner of appearance. I just don't know how many people will watch this, and I'd rather not be recognizable. I am an independent researcher seeking a private audience with you to discuss an important matter. I guarantee that it is in your interest to honor this request. Believe me, if my purpose was not significant, I would not risk my life pursuing it. The reason I climbed your tower was to get your attention. If I had sought this via conventional means, I would be much less likely to have success because you are a busy man with many responsibilities. I'll get my contact information to your campaign so that if you are interested, you can respond. As for anyone else who's watching, please help make this video go viral so that it gets to Mr. Trump, and be sure to get out and vote for Mr. Trump in the 2016 election. Thank you.
All right. Well, mission accomplished. You don't think Trump's going to talk to him?
No.
I do.
Would you talk? You would talk to him if you...
I'd have people in the room with me.
Stephen Regatta is his name, from Great Falls, Virginia. He's been charged with reckless endangerment and criminal trespass.
And now Kevin was telling us some information off the air that, you know, timing is everything when you're trying to get someone's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And as Steve Regatta, is that his name?
Yeah, Regatta.
Mm-hmm. As Steve Regatta was scaling Trump Tower in New York, he's from Virginia. But
yes.
Where was Donald Trump? Virginia. So that is bad timing.
He's not real good at the logistics of a plan. He sets a plan in motion well, but it's the details that he seems to have trouble with.
Yeah, but he could have just scaled the McDonald's in Virginia.
Right.
You know, this poor guy comes all the way out here to get Trump's attention, and it worked. I'm betting he does talk to him.
I was expecting him to unfurl something because he had that backpack. Like, he's going to climb up and he's going to have some kind of banner. I didn't know what it was going to read or who it was going to be it for, but we never saw that. That backpack must have been the thing that held the suction cups.
That's pretty exciting. I'm sorry. It really is.
But by hearing his speech, like if I was at home right now, I would have been hiding under the covers while you were playing that.
I know. He doesn't sound like...
There's elements of danger in the way he just... addresses his situation.
Risked his life. It's important information, Bill, because why would he risk his life to get the attention of one Donald J. Trump?
I don't know.
Sandy, what do you think about Steve Regatta?
Well, first of all, I agree. I mean, that's crazy. He could have been in Virginia climbing the building he was doing his speech at. That would have been the best way to get in touch with him.
You could also argue that there's ways to get in touch with somebody that don't even remotely involve climbing a building.
How about Twitter? Trump is on Twitter all the time.
Yeah.
You like the phone, like how I just called you?
You could call somebody.
Oh, I never thought of that.
You could call a press secretary and say, I have important information we need to discuss.
But Donald Trump will get in touch with them because they're two peas in a pod.
Well, that's what I mean. Wouldn't you be so curious if you were Donald Trump? What does this kid have for me?
Oh, he would totally. He's going to get in touch with him. There's no doubt about it.
And then there's more press on it because, you know, Donald Trump today met with...
But doesn't that set the precedent that anytime anyone wants to talk to Donald Trump, then you have to just climb a building and you can have an audience with Donald Trump?
New things are happening every day with him.
Just climb a building. I mean, I don't think anybody would just do that.
Right. Right.
I mean, you would have to be pretty crazy to just go climb on a building.
I think so.
Sandy, thank you for calling. I'm going to meet with Steve Ricotta Cheese.
How are you going to find him? Just climb a building.
No, he left
building of the courthouse.
I'm telling you right now, I'm sure he's going to be pretty easy to get a hold of. But aren't you dying to know what this important information he has for Trump is? He supports Trump. It's like
that's the weirdest part is that he likes Donald Trump and he did this.
Unless he's just saying that to get Trump to call him back.
The old switcheroo, as we say in the building climbing business. Wouldn't you climb a building to make people believe one thing and then you pull the other?
You don't want to talk to him?
I'm afraid of him.
The biggest fan of yours in the world.
Oh, even then I'd be more afraid.
And he scaled the FAO Schwarz building
not there anymore.
Well, that would mean more.
Right.
But if somebody just said, I have this, you know, great idea for you, I'd say,
do that. Climb the building. I'll meet you at the top of the building. Wait for me up there. I may be a few years late, but I will get there.
Wouldn't that have been something if when they removed those windows, rather than the police waiting there for him, it was just Donald Trump?
Trump's just standing there.
All right, tell me your piece right now before you climb in.
Right.
And I'll decide, yay or nay.
I'll decide whether or not we're going to rescue you.
Right. He's just got a big super soaker.
What do you got? Let's hear it. Come on.
Spill it.
Aren't you dying to know?
I can't imagine what it could possibly be. I mean, I guess there's that curiosity factor. But as soon as I find out his mode of transportation, Mr. Trump, there's the man. You're sending him in the office. Oh, I can't. He's at the window. He's not at the door. I don't want to meet with him. I'm out.
Yeah, but that gets the attention more than just calling the press secretary and saying, yes, I'd like to arrange a meeting. Okay, who are you? Steve Regatta. What do you want? Well, I'm a 19-year-old from Virginia. I got this great idea for him.
Right.
Thank you for calling. We'll get back to you.
Right.
He's never going to get Trump's attention.
Probably not.
This is huge what he
Scaling
did.
Scaling a building in the middle of downtown New York.
Right.
That will get some television cameras out there. I will give him credit
Very
for that.
Very subtle.
Yeah. He got up to the 22nd floor?
21st floor when they finally yanked him.
So he missed by how much? He just missed.
How tall is the building?
I guess you need to know that. Yeah, I guess for this equation to work properly, I guess
we
need to know that.
Come on, whip out your little Trump fact card.
Where's my Trumpculator where I could figure out any mathematical terms having to do with Donald Trump?
Well, stay tuned. You haven't heard the last of Steve Regatta. I'm telling you that right now.
So scary.
Regatta 2020.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. All right. A break and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN. I didn't realize until yesterday that Barack Obama was the founder of ISIS. You know? Yeah, Barack Obama is the founder of ISIS. I learned
and Hillary
that yesterday.
Clinton is the devil?
No, she was the devil.
Oh.
And now she has been named as the co-founder of ISIS.
She moonlights as the co-founder
of ISIS. Right. You can do both.
What the heck is going on?
Yeah, he's the founder of ISIS. Yesterday, Donald Trump, who was avoiding people climbing buildings to have meetings with him, spoke at a rally and he spilled the beans. He let America know, he let the world know that the number one guy over at ISIS is Barack Obama. Listen to this.
We unleashed fury all over the Middle East, and it was a terrible mistake. And then Obama came in. And normally you want to clean up. He made a bigger mess out of it. He made such a mess. And then you had Hillary with Libya. So sad. In fact, in many respects, you know, they honor President Obama. ISIS is honoring President Obama. He is the founder of ISIS.
Told you.
He's the founder of ISIS.
Told you.
Okay. He's the founder.
He's the founder of ISIS.
He founded ISIS.
I'm still unclear as to whether or not he's the founder.
I would say the co-founder
is who?
Would be Crooked Hillary Clinton.
I knew it.
Co-founder.
I knew it.
Crooked Hillary Clinton.
They're the founder and the co-founder and the CEO of ISIS and the treasurer and the ball boy of ISIS.
And the ball boy.
I told you.
Who's the water girl?
I think it's Chelsea Clinton.
Oh.
I think she is the water girl.
How can someone... Listen, I'll tell you, there's an ad going around by the Hillary Clinton campaign, and it's very effective to me. You've got... it says, kids are watching.
I love this ad.
I'm telling you...
Very effective.
Again, and if you want to vote for Trump, go ahead and do it. But, okay... I hear these things. He just says things, and Hillary in the email, and Hillary with Libya, and It's like he just says like non sequiturs just mm-hmm. to get a rant and rave out of people. Mm-hmm. And I think he's decided that he wants to lose. That
Do you
he
think
just
so?
He wants out now.
Well, he did make a statement yesterday saying that if he were to lose, he's got a very good life to go back to. So there's a fail safe. If I don't
win. We know
win,
that. We didn't doubt it.
I've got right.
We're not going to be worried about you.
Well, there's some people who would be.
No, not even people who support him. They're going to be worried that he's going to be, in financial trouble if
right.
he doesn't win.
Right.
But what you're seeing here, though, is Donald Trump trying to equate Hillary Clinton to Barack Obama. Barack Obama, very popular right now. Hillary Clinton bringing him along on some of those campaign stops.
Yes.
And, you know, the one, knock that Republicans have always had on President Obama is his foreign policy. And they haven't been satisfied with the way he's handled the war on terror. And, you know, they think associating, well, at least he thinks, and I don't know if this is how he meant it to come out, but, you know, if he can associate ISIS with Obama and then can associate Hillary Clinton with Obama, you know, they can make the connection there.
Sure.
That's the argument.
But couldn't you also argue that to call President Obama or Hillary Clinton the founder and co-founder of ISIS is just slightly off center? It's just not quite
and
right.
And what about slander? I know they're public figures, but this is stuff that, like, there's somebody listening there who believes it.
Oh, there's plenty of people. There's lots and lots of people.
I like to think there's one or two. I don't like to think there are a lot of people that believe that.
The fun for me during that, because there's video, of course, it's not just audio, but you can easily find the video anywhere online of Donald Trump referring to Barack Obama as the founder of ISIS and Hillary Clinton as the co-founder, is now I'm starting to watch the crowd behind him to get crowd reaction. So remember the other day he made one of his statements and you see the guy behind him go, what? Oh, wow.
That was
you
the Second Amendment thing?
Yeah, during the Second Amendment speech about if you're not happy with the way things are going with the Second Amendment, maybe the Second Amendment people will go do something about
right.
it, right? Okay. So that got a lot of play the other day. But you saw a guy, and this guy was actually on the news quite a bit the last day or two, the guy behind Trump who was amazed by it, but he went right out and said afterwards, I'm still going to vote for him. I was shocked by what he said, but I'm still going to vote for him. So then yesterday, as he's making this speech about ISIS and that it was founded by President Obama and Hillary Clinton, you see a bunch of people behind him make similar, like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And then, like, a couple seconds later, they're like, yeah. Like, there was that, oh, isn't that shocking that he would say, I kind of like what he just said.
I don't understand. Tim, I mentioned an ad that kids are watching, and it's from the Hillary Clinton campaign. And it's Donald Trump swearing and talking about, you know, Mexicans going back to Mexico and various other things. And your point is?
Well, you mentioned that thing about Hillary Clinton.
The co-founder of ISIS, by the way.
Yeah, well, my thing is, you know, you have all these kids watching and all these mothers saying, you know, how Hillary is such a good person. But how could a mother sit there and tell her kids to look up to Hillary when Hillary lies all the time? And you can't deny she doesn't.
Everybody lies. I am so sick of saying Hillary lies. You know what, Tim? I lie sometimes,
well,
and I bet you do too.
You're not sick of saying Obama lies. I hear that every day on your guys. Every day. Obama lies about this. Obama lies about that. But
all
these young ladies. Yeah, yeah, you do every day.
That Obama lies.
And not Obama, Trump lies.
I don't even care about Trump lying. I care about the crazy things he says.
You bring it up. You bring it up every day. Trump lies about this. Trump lies about that. But you got all these mothers out there that want their kids to look up to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton lies all the time. She lied. Look about her emails with the FBI. The FBI said she lied about all this stuff. But how can these mothers say that Hillary's so wonderful, look up to Hillary when she lies all the time? But you guys are always bashing Trump. Trump this, Trump that, Trump lied about that.
Real quick,
I just don't understand it.
Tim, do you think Barack Obama is the founder of ISIS?
No, I don't think he's the founder of ISIS, but he didn't do anything to stop it.
But you just heard Donald Trump call him, I counted four times, the founder of ISIS. You heard him say that, right?
Right, I did.
And don't you think that's a little disturbing for a guy to stand up at a rally and say that the president is the founder?
It's not a lie, is it?
Of one of our worst enemies,
it
a terrorist group.
You're right. He shouldn't have said it. But you know, Obama hasn't done anything to stop it.
How can you say that?
What's he done?
What has he really done? We've taken out some areas.
Countless personnel, not just for ISIS, but other terrorist groups.
I mean, what is the solution,
Tim?
He had
all the opportunity to stop them from transporting oil. All that oil, they had them on. You can see it on the drones, how they're moving all the oil. Why did he take out the oil and stop it from happening? I don't understand why he didn't stop it from happening. You could have sent a drone in there and took out all those tankers.
Tim, why aren't you running? Anyway, I'd vote for you.
Well, I think Steve in the morning should run because he knows everything. He knows the right answers about everything. I mean, that guy, he's a smart guy. He knows everything about everything.
He is pretty smart.
But your whole station, it seems like your whole station, I've listened to you guys for years, believe me. And it seems like the last 5-6 months that your station is turning totally left. And it's dead because, like I said, all you guys do is bash everything he says. Trump can't say nothing without you guys going after him.
Tim, believe me when I tell you.
Hillary walked along just like she's an angel.
Tim, believe me when I tell you there are several people on the air here who are exactly the opposite of what you're saying. They are not to the left at all. They're extreme to the right, believe me. And those people are on the air saying Trump is a mistake. You don't want to vote for Trump. And they are on the right, believe me.
Well, but Trump may be a lot of things, but I think he'll make this country better. I think he'll get in there and he'll get enough people behind him and he'll do the right things and get our country back on track. I really do.
Even after him, and I'm not even accusing him of lying, but just the crazy things he says, it's like the crazy uncle. Hang on, let me talk, Tim. We let you talk. You got like a crazy uncle at your dinner table who's like, oh, God, that's just Uncle Phil. He gets nuts once in a while. Aren't you hearing that at all in some of the stuff he does? You want him to represent our country?
Yeah, I do. I really do.
And why do we have
I'd rather have him. I'd rather have him than Hillary in there any day. Hillary's too much of the establishment. Everything works in her favor in the establishment. We need somebody that's not a part of the establishment to get in there and mix it up and bring our country back to a fair playing level for everybody.
And I thought that at the beginning, too. Someone who, you know, we got to break this up, do something different. But then when I heard Donald Trump speaking, I'm thinking, I don't know if that's the right person to do it.
I think he'll be fine once he gets in there and you get people behind him and he'll make everything right. I really do. I mean, the guy, he's made millions and billions of dollars doing what he does. And Hillary, what has she done? I mean,
she
really.
Co-founded ISIS.
That's right.
It's on
That's
a resume.
A big accomplishment.
It's on a resume.
Well, there you go. At least she did something.
All right.
Tim, I just don't like that you're so mad. I mean, that's what I'm bothered by during this whole presidential campaign is everybody screaming at each other like you said this and you said that. You know what? I'd listen to you more, Tim, if you said in a calm, cool fashion, here's why I think Trump would be a great president. But it's just lying Hillary and I'm for change. That's all I'm hearing. And then you being mad.
Like I said, I think if Trump got in there, he used his experience as a businessman to restart the country and make our country better. He's a businessman. That's what he does.
And running the country is a business, in your opinion.
It is a business. Everything about this country is business. From construction to everything. It's all. Everything about this country has been founded on business.
All right. Well, Tim.
We need somebody that knows business to make it work.
We appreciate your comments. Feel free to call whenever you want. Absolutely.
All right.
Can we shake hands?
Thank you, then. I would love to give you a hug.
All right, Tim, you had me, then you lost me. Wow. I'd shake your hand. I'm not hugging you or not any kind of massage.
Where'd that go?
At least the anger's gone. If I can help in one small way.
Sexual healing, Wendy. Marvin Gaye was right. We'll take a quick break. We've got some news and then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Oh, the taste of her cherry chapstick.
Absolutely, Wendy. The taste of her cherry chapstick.
I like strawberry better.
An interesting event at the Seattle Mariners game on Friday night involving two girls who are in love with each other and their show or not of affection. I'll read you the story and you can decide if what they did was or was not appropriate. But even more interesting with these two Seattle Mariner fans, these two female Seattle Mariner fans, is the way Seattle handled it. Here's the story. An incident involving a lesbian couple at a Seattle Mariners game Friday night has the team both apologizing to and pointing fingers at the couple. The two women are left wondering why they were told that their basic displays of public affection were deemed inappropriate by the people who complained. On Friday, Juliana Garcia and Calista Neighbors attended the Mariners' home game against the Anaheim Angels. Garcia, a San Francisco Giants fan, was there to watch the Angels' new pitcher, Tim Lincecum, a former Giant who lasted just three innings that night, against some hot Mariners bats. Sometime around the seventh inning, the couple was on the concourse waiting for their friends, when they were approached by an usher and told that a complaint had been filed against them. They needed to stop, and I quote here, being affectionate, because this was, I quote again, a family-friendly environment, and their actions were against the park's code of conduct. The women were told this, that the code of conduct bans displays of affection that are not appropriate in a public family setting.
This really makes my blood boil. I got to tell you, just listening to it, it is so unfair.
They visited guest services. The couple visited guest services where they received an immediate apology. Garcia filed a complaint and then posted that complaint on Instagram. They were told that they would receive a phone call from the manager over the weekend, not the manager of the Seattle Mariners.
That would be an interesting call.
That would be strange, wouldn't it? On Monday, they received a voicemail from Amy Swisher. She is the senior manager of Guest Experiences. That sounds nice, doesn't it?
That is weird.
Here's what Swisher says. I just want to apologize to you, she said in a voicemail message. We do have a code of conduct as far as people and what they're doing at our ballpark, but hugging and embracing is totally fine. By the way, that's what these women say that they were doing, that they hugged on occasion and that they embraced on occasion.
But they weren't making out or anything?
They weren't, no. Amy Swisher then says, I'm kind of upset with my staff that they made an issue out of this. I want you to know that we spoke with the staff member who reprimanded you. And we have been coaching her on what violates our code of conduct and what doesn't. She feels bad, and I'm kind of appalled by the whole situation. I'm so sorry for what you guys went through.
I'm liking the Swisher's response.
Yeah, I am too. This is not how we treat people. It goes against our beliefs and the Mariners' way. And I am, like I said, very sorry about it. Swisher also invited the couple to come back to a later Mariners game so that they could make up for it. After receiving the voicemail, however, Garcia was pleased with the Mariners' response, even if she was still shaken that somebody would complain about two women showing affection. She felt that the team was handling the incident well and that it was an isolated incident. Still, she wanted to speak out about the incident publicly so that other teams could get ahead of this kind of issue and make sure that this doesn't happen to anybody else. That seems fair,
doesn't
it? It shouldn't have happened, she said, but the way that they handled it, I'm very impressed and appreciative with of that. Despite, however, the overt apology by Swisher and her absolving the couple of any wrongdoing in the voicemail, on Tuesday morning, Mariner spokesperson Rebecca Hale spun a completely different story about what triggered the incident on Friday night, telling Outsports.com that according to reports, the couple did act inappropriately. Hale said that the usher received two complaints, one of them from a fellow Safeco Field staff member, that two lesbians were, quote, here, making out with one another, and that they should be stopped.
Oh, my God. First of all, would they ever go, hey, there's this couple here making out. We have to stop them.
Right.
They wouldn't stop them.
Right.
Oh, my God. Right. What is happening to this world?
This is what goes on at Safeco, or Safe Sexco. I think they should rename the stadium. Plus, despite Swisher telling the couple that management regretted the encounter, Hale told Outsports.com that the usher's own written statement maintained that the couple were, in fact, making out and that the usher felt it was not appropriate for a public setting.
I don't like seeing anybody, like, really sticking their tongue down someone else's throat. I really don't. Guy, girl, 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 guy, guy.
But don't you think that somebody who is overly sensitive to the fact that it was two women together,
yes,
maybe what they saw, they decided, was a little more, like if it were a man and a woman there and they were a little more affectionate toward each other, that person would probably go, well, it's a guy and a girl. just the way God intended it.
Oh, they're in love.
It.
That's
they're
what he,
in love.
Yes.
Good for America.
And that's why it's so wrong.
Right. Correct.
I mean, and if people aren't ready to see this in public, too bad. Then
right.
look the other way.
Right.
As I said, I don't like seeing hetero couples, you know.
You go over and say, hey, get a room. Get out.
Sometimes,
trying to enjoy this baseball game.
Come on. You haven't seen, like, young kids, like,
go a little farther than
it's
yeah,
like,
sometimes.
Oh, guys, really?
Yeah, I know.
This is the first time you've been together?
I know.
Mom and dad are in the bathroom? What? I mean, what? Sometimes I just don't like to see that. So you know what I do? I look the other way.
That's the way to do it.
None of my business.
All right. Now, I have a Chicago angle on this that I'm going to share. We have to take a quick break, but I have a definite Chicago angle about something at Wrigley just the other night that ties in beautifully to this. I'll share that with you in a minute. If you'd like to jump in, 312-981-7200 is our phone number and our text line. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right, you're talking about a couple of girls who had an experience at a Seattle Mariners game.
Yeah, on Friday night, these two women, Juliana Garcia and Callista Neighbors, were being affectionate. They were holding hands. They were embracing from time to time. They were kissing. Two people that, you know, a couple of things that people who were in love would do. But some people there at Safeco in Seattle were not too pleased. The Mariners reprimanded them, then apologized, but then came back and said, yeah, we can't have this sort of thing going on in our stadium.
And it seems so contradictory that a woman in charge of baseball, what was it, experiences?
Baseball experiences, Wendy. Amy Swisher is the senior manager of guest experiences.
Well, these girls were experiencing love.
Yes,
and it
they
seems
were.
Like Swisher was like cool with it going, I'm kind of bothered by the fact that the usher overreacted.
Yeah.
And then the usher saying, what's his quote?
There's a couple.
There are two lesbians and they are.
Yeah, they were. Plus, there were two lesbians making out with one another and that should be stopped.
It should be stopped.
Yeah, we can't have that.
Oh, my God. I don't get it. I just don't get people. If you don't like it, look the other way. Hi, Katie.
Hi, how are you? Well, call me old fashioned, but I think people did complain, and I have been in places where this has happened, and I find it very that I shouldn't have to explain to little kids or little grandkids why these people are acting. I don't care what you do in your bedroom. That's your business. If you want to be gay, lesbian, whatever, that's your business. We all have that right. But you know what? Save it for home. And I believe that people did complain to those people, and I think they did more than just hug. And that, I'm going to tell you something. I took some kids to a county fair.
Yeah.
And two guys walking in front of us, each walking with their arms behind them and had their hand in the back of each other's pants. And that's right in front of us. Now, you know what? I'm sorry. That's disgusting. I don't want to see a guy and a girl do that.
Right. That's right, though. You just said it.
Little kids doing that.
Katie, you explained it. You don't even want to see a guy and a girl do that. That's it. I mean, people should watch what they do in public. But as explaining to the little kids, I think the little kids could be explaining to you these days because they see men and men together and women together. It's not that odd.
But there's appropriate behavior.
Agreed.
Okay?
Agreed.
There's manners or appropriate behavior, and that's not appropriate behavior. I'm sorry. You know, you teach your kids manners. You teach appropriate behavior. You say, excuse me, you hold doors for people. You say, God bless you. And there's appropriate behavior, and that's not. And a baseball game is a family affair. And I think there's more to it than that, and I think that some of these people, they go too far. We're so worried about being politically correct that somebody has to come back and say, oh, we're so sorry. Come on, we'll give you free tickets. And this whole world is worried about being politically correct. I believe there was more to it. I believe I have seen too much of this stuff. And, you know, whatever you do in your own house, that's your business. I couldn't care less, and I respect you for whatever your lifestyle is.
Did you ever kiss your husband in public?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you ever kiss your husband in public?
Maybe a pack, like a birthday party or something. Yeah, no, I don't. I wouldn't have my hands in his pants or mauling him or putting my tongue down his throat in public. No, I'd give him a kiss. But I mean, I just think that things go too far. And I realize you have to walk the line because then you get a whole bunch of people calling you and saying, well, you're anti-gay and you're anti-this and you're anti-that. And I realized, you know, I can voice my opinion probably better than you can, but I just think
my opinion is it's totally my opinion is you're absolutely right. I don't want to see a heterosexual couple with their hands down each other's pants or right. you know going hot and heavy. But it
baseball's a slow game, Wendy. There's a lot of downtime in baseball.
But a lesbian couple, Katie, should have the right to just give a little peck on the lips to their significant other, like
right.
you do to your
I
husband.
I don't think that's all it was. I don't believe that somebody would go and complain to ushers. There's two separate complaints that
yeah.
somebody gave a complaint of a peck. Nobody's got a problem with a peck. Heck, I've given my girlfriends a peck of birthday cake
at a Mariners game.
A oh my God!
There's a time and a place for that.
Katie, drive. What if they caught you on the kiss cam when you gave your girlfriend a kiss?
Well, I don't go to Mariner games. So
that's the best bet. Stay away from Safeco Park.
I mean, I'm just saying. I think there's more to it than these two lesbian women are admitting to.
Right.
And I don't believe that somebody would just go and complain to an usher if somebody just gave somebody a hug. There's
right.
nothing wrong with that. That's fine.
Okay.
You have a good day, guys.
Thanks so much, Katie. All right.
I agree with her, though. I don't like to see, you know, tongues being rammed down someone's
sure.
throat. I'd be like, get a room. I
right.
would say that.
No, I get that. The other night, I'm watching the Cubs play the Angels, and it's late in the game. It's the seventh or the eighth inning. And they just came out of a half inning break, right? We're between innings. So as they come back, they show a couple of couples. It's not the kiss cam. Like a lot of times if you go to a game, they'll do the kiss cam and they'll show you seven or eight couples, and it always ends on it's sometimes it's two older people that are a little reluctant to share a kiss.
But it's
but
adorable.
Then they do and the crowd goes nuts. So you've all seen that if you've attended a game at the United Center or a similar venue. All right. So all this is just random people at the Cubs game. And, you know, they've got their arms around each other and they're giving each other a kiss. Well, one of the couples was two girls. It was a girl sitting in the bleachers and another girl's head was on her shoulders. And they just kind of they gave each other a kiss. And the announcers didn't say anything about it. And other people around them didn't make any kind of a noise saying that this was a horrible thing or now we're talking. There was nothing like that. It just kind of
which a male announcer might do.
Right, right.
Wait, can we slow that thing
hey,
down?
Hey, play that
mercy.
Again. Let's take a look at that. All right, so I thought to myself, there was a time not long ago where if this was broadcast, two women attending a baseball game giving each other a kiss there during the game, somebody would have apologized for that. I don't know how that got on the air.
And it would
we're
have made
so
headlines
sorry.
The next day.
Oh, boy, was that a mistake to show you two women in love at the baseball game. But I just sat there and I went, okay, I think we've made a little bit of progress here because nobody called it out. It was just a minute that happened during the game. That was great. I was very pleased.
I agree with you. And our last caller, I mean, she said she's old fashioned. So that
right.
and that's her business.
Yes.
Someone has texted saying she didn't think it was appropriate, and there was more to the story because they were lesbians.
Well, I think this is a story because it's two women.
I know.
If it was
that's
a man and a woman
thing.
Who said, oh. The management yelled at us. They said, hey, keep your hands off of each other. Then it's not even a story, but it's the mere fact that it is two women, right?
It has to be. And then someone said, when our caller said, you know, this is going to be hard to explain this to children. And then someone suggests just tell the kids they're in love.
Those people are
end
in love
discussion.
Over there. Right. I agree. I definitely agree.
And then my favorite text of the day, Wendy is wrong, get off the radio, which we will as soon as we say hello to Ro and Anna coming up next.
Your letter writing campaign has worked. All right, a quick break and then more show. Bill and Wendy WGN.